Spring Split is over. Week 9 is done, and 100 Thieves did it. They pulled off the heist. Yes, I know, it's a joke. And they've stolen first place from Echo Fox. There's so much to talk about as we head into playoffs in just a week. No break at all. And guess what? Speaking of 100 Thieves, we have Prawley on the show today. He's going to be talking to us about how he managed to somehow sneak his way into first place here at the very end. It's going to be such a fun show. I really like that guy, and maybe Mark is okay too. All that and more coming up next.
Hotline League is brought to you by Omen by HP.
Well, we are here. It is episode, I believe, 18, if I'm counting correctly. I'm joined right now by my perennial host, co-host, Mark Zimmerman. How's it going, Mark?
Pretty good. I had a relatively relaxing day. I even did a secret stream where I just didn't say I was going to stream, and I played Monster Hunter on it.
Really? Did you, tweet it or anything?
No, I didn't do anything. I just turned it on. Someone posted it in one of like the offline TV Discord, so it got up to like 200, 300 for a little bit before dropping back down because I was not being very interactive or entertaining. And then I just turned it off and continued to play Monster Hunter after I got bored of talking to people.
How many offline Discords are there?
I don't know. I'm not a part of any of them.
Okay.
I don't really...
Somewhere out there, there are hundreds of people, and if you post a link to a stream, they come and watch it.
You trying to weasel your way in? Travis, you're not a part of offline TP.
Okay. Who? I mean, at this point in time, I feel like it's hard to figure out who is and who isn't a part of offline TP.
I agree, Travis. I agree that is a problem.
Mark Merrill, the newest member of offline TP.
He's just like, shows up in a vlog and then it's like suddenly somehow in his Twitter bio. And I'm like,
Mark
what the
X
fuck?
Pokey. That's the new ship I'm going for. That's the hottest thing. Maybe Mark X Toast, you know? Mark Merrill, I mean.
Sign
not,
me up.
Not Mark Z.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, that's what I thought you were talking about.
I wouldn't ship you. I wouldn't ship you with anyone, Mark. All right.
Good, because I'm taken.
Oh, good. Yeah. Jad is he's a lucky man. All right. Let's talk a little bit about League of Legends. How's your week been? Like, besides all the stream and everything, how's your professional week been going?
My professional week was fun. We had a 10-game day. I thought, like, as it started, like, as we got into the second half, I was like, oh, fuck, this is going to be awful. But it was pretty good. Like, all the games were fun. They were important. They were between good teams, so it was sick. And then, obviously, the whole ending of the split is fucking wild. That 1 through 6 are all separated only by one game, and we had to do 5 tiebreakers, and no one knows who's good anymore. No one knows how to vote on their ballots, which are going to be due pretty soon.
Yeah. It's yeah, like, we should actually talk about that. And it's a topic that we can kind of talk about before Prawley comes on. But first, I want to say good job on the desk. Because I feel like, you know, we talked about this at the beginning of the like Hotline League back in January.
Mm-hmm.
First off, we had Dash on a couple weeks in. But even before then, you're like, yeah, we're going to try a bunch of different stuff with the desk. Like, it makes a lot of sense that Jad is coming in. And I remember some of the early reactions. Like, I remember back when you guys were like, okay, we're going to talk about Bjergsen and kind of discuss, you know, whether or not he was good in this game or not. And everybody was like, well, this analyst has... Now everybody loves it. They love the opening show, and you've been getting nothing but love throughout the
Yeah, I mean, the Bjergsen one was a little understandable because people didn't know that the desk was supposed to be different. So I think there's a reaction to that, as well as the fact that I don't think we really nailed that segment. I think all of us were like, after we finished it, we're like, how did that come across? Probably not well. And then we went on social media and it was like, yep, didn't come across well.
Yeah.
So we knew we didn't quite hit the mark on that one. But then after that, I felt like we've really been finding our stride more and more. And it's a lot of fun, especially the countdown. Like, we just do so much ridiculous shit. I think all of us feel like we have hit exactly what we were aiming for. Not that we can't do better, but just like, this is what we were hoping.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've really enjoyed it. Like, I find myself in the past, we talked about this, I think, at the end of last year. And I think I've given this feedback to other people in the past. Like, I had no problem getting up and leaving the room to go outside to film an interview whenever the analyst desk came on. But more and more, I find myself like sort of like sticking around because some segment is really funny or interesting or whatever. And I think it's been quite fun. So, congrats
thank
on
you,
that,
Senor.
What?
So, thank you, Senor.
Yeah. For me, I know you're not going to ask me. You never do. But I'll tell you anyway how my week went.
That's why I don't ask. It's because I know you're going to.
It went well, Mark. I was in Austin for South by Southwest.
Oh yeah, I saw you on a picture on stage with Steve.
Yeah, Steve and I did a thing. Actually, a lot of those, I go to a lot of these panels. A lot of them are fun. I enjoy meeting people. I enjoy talking about esports. But the one with Steve, I think, was particularly fun because in the, like, under normal circumstances, so I also did one with Sam Matthews, the founder of Fnatic. On the next day, I think that was pretty good, but I really enjoyed the one with Steve, partly because I got, normally they're just like, hey, we need somebody to talk to some people about monetizing esports content or about drafting players or players' rights or anything like that. You're the moderator, go. This time, I got to kind of work with Steve on coming up with the title, and quite frankly, Steve was just sort of like, make it whatever you want, and trusted me. And so it was the trials and tribulations of running an esports team. So instead of just being like, oh yes, what do you think about the future of esports? I was able to be like, talk to me about how you started this team and shortly thereafter Doublelift kicked you off your roster whenever you were a player on your own team. Yeah. And like it was actually really fun. We talked about a whole lot of stuff and like him sort of going through this process of trying to make it work. And I actually think it was really cool. So shout out to everybody who showed up. I think I really enjoyed it. And shout out to Steve as well. It was a big highlight for me. But yeah, South by Southwest was fun. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's good to hear. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Any difficulties with the flights, you know, travel, get sick?
No, did not get sick. Actually, everything was fine. I came back Saturday morning. The only downside was I came back Saturday morning because I had a panel on Friday and didn't want to fly out super late Friday night. So I flew back I had a 7 a.m. flight out of Austin. So 5 a.m. West Coast I took off, which meant I was like up at 3 a.m. West Coast. And then I had LCS interviews to do Saturday. So that was a little exhausting. You know, the only complaint I will lodge about my weekend was one, as fun as it is for us to have 10 games, it sucks to get content because teams don't want to do interviews when they have another interview later in the day. And then I left early because essentially one manager came up and was like, yeah, the players are going to be done at like 10 o'clock. They're going to be exhausted because they'll have been here for 10 hours. They still have to do like feature interviews with Riot afterwards. Like, it's probably not going to happen. I'm like, okay, well, that sucks. So I just left after interviewing Nadeshot. And then also, I'm curious on your take on this. Like, FlyQuest, I request an interview with Wild Turtle.
Mm-hmm.
FlyQuest declines.
Huh. Get me out of here. Is that not a good enough reason?
Golden Guardians request an interview with the head of Golden Guardians.
Your boy?
My boy Hunter Lee.
Yeah, your boy.
Interview declined. And I'm just sort of like, what? FlyQuest Golden Guardians, like, you guys need some fans. It's good exposure. It's the end of the split, you know. In Hunter's defense, he told me that if I'd asked for a player, he would give it. But, like, they just lost in a pretty embarrassing way. I think it's much more interesting to recap with the person who's been running it, so I don't know. It's disappointing to me whenever, like, the thing is, I like doing those interviews. I want to provide them. It's not like those are make it or break it interviews for my YouTube channel. I do it because I want these teams to get more exposure. And so whenever that doesn't happen, it's kind of frustrating.
Yeah, especially for teams that have something to answer for, and maybe they don't want to do it right now because they're like, oh, well, it's all up in the air, blah, blah, blah. And they'll just regurgitate that six times. So I can understand. Maybe not right now, but it still would be nice to be like, you know, thoughts on your season now that it's over kind of thing.
Yeah.
I feel you.
That was the only issue there. I think Fingham probably hasn't messaged me yet. But that was my week. I think why don't we go ahead and do a quick chat about the sponsor before Prawley comes on the show. So we got that out of the way. Not that I would ever want to get them out of the way, because guess what? Omen by HP, super awesome. Love these guys. Saw a bunch of the guys that work on their stuff at South by Southwest, and I cannot Mark's half-open keyboard. You can tell he's been using it since last week.
Really make great. A little bit more progress.
Yeah, he's had a busy week, so he only got halfway to opening it.
I don't really know how I'm supposed to be.
And really, by the way, Omen, this is the value that you get from this show.
Oh yeah, it's out of the box now.
Well, I use their stuff, and I've been using it. I brought the computer to South by Southwest with me.
All
You know what?
We're Mark, at this point. We'll get it.
Mark's doing an unboxing video live across multiple episodes. That's
We're over weeks. The week.
Slowly
it's just such a great product. You want to savor it. You know. You can only unbox this thing once, so I'm going to do it over the course of a month.
Exactly. I appreciate that. Last week, you guys saw me open up the. What is this thing, like a 35-inch monitor, curved monitor? It's been amazing. I've been using it for this week, played some video games on it. You can see
I bet Monster Hunter would look good on it.
What's that?
So I bet Monster Hunter would look good on it.
Monster Hunter probably would. Slay the Spire looks great on it.
How can Slay the Spire look great on anything?
No, but actually, it's pretty cool to see how much you can see when you have like a curved widescreen monitor. There's a link in the Twitch description if you guys want to check it out. I'll put one in the YouTube description too, but I use their computer with me at South by Southwest. Look, I know you guys have heard me say this before, but it's super cool that they sponsor the show. They sponsor everything from Overwatch League down to like grassroots shows like this. They make it possible. Mark has been paid in the past.
Have I?
Yeah. What? I paid you.
I haven't.
You invoiced me. I invoiced you like two weeks ago.
I know I invoiced you. I just didn't bother checking to see if I actually
got money. The ongoing saga, if you haven't been paying attention to this before, is that Omen pays me. Obviously, the show's sort of what I run the show from a business perspective. Then I pay Mark as my co-host. Mark, in past episodes, had complained about how he hadn't gotten paid by me. When I mentioned that Omen pays both of us, I've now paid him because he finally got the paperwork in. Hopefully, by next episode, he'll have checked his bank account and realized... I think I sent it to you on Venmo.
You know, I think I got an email and I just...
You might have like a giant amount of money, because by the way, they treat us well, in your Venmo account, just waiting for you to...
I also do rent on there, so I probably have like a couple $1,000 in my Venmo.
Okay, yeah, you probably do. Because I think when I sent you money, I saw that Josh had sent you money recently too.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll double check that later, but... They do make it possible for Mark and I to do this show and to do it as a profitable situation, which is very nice of them. Like I said, it's super cool they sponsor this. They've been in the gaming space for a couple years now. They really value the competitive community and want to support esports. They know that it's an area where there's a ton of people that are passionate. And I just really, really appreciate the fact that, you know, when I worked at big media companies, oftentimes it was like, how are we going to figure out who to come in and sponsor this stuff? These guys came. I talked to them. They talked to me. They are fans of the show. They're fans of the work that I do. They, I'm sure, are fans of Mark and his slow unboxing series over the course of the Hotline League. And so I just...
Yeah, let me know if they don't like that, by the way. If there's anything I'm doing and they're like, hey, we would like it if you stopped acting like a jackass with our product.
Yeah. They've been trying to get you off the show for a while, Mark. They're just like...
Now, is that a result of how I'm working with the product?
No. This is general. They're like, he seems like a negative guy. He shows up late to the show. Like, it just... Can we just get this guy off the show?
Yeah, it was all your bite. That's why people tune in.
Yeah. One thing I like about them, by the way, these commercials of these ads have gotten... more and more lax as time has gone on in terms, not lax as in how
are we still in the commercial?
We value them. Yes.
not
lax in how we value them, but very, you know, talking, joking casually. It's super nice. They like it. I think they like the show. I mean, I know they like the show. They talk about it. And so thank you so much to Omen by HP. If you guys can just do me a big favor, follow them on Twitter, Omen by HP. That's their Twitter account. Tweet them a thanks for supporting the show. Tell them, that you appreciate it. That's super, super helpful to us because it helps them notice that you guys are watching and that you appreciate their support. So thanks so much. I'll put their Twitter in the Twitch chat right now. And now we move on. It looks like Prawly is ready. He says, got it, bro. Hey, move me, bro.
I see him in general too.
Okay, I moved him in.
Oh, well, now his mic's not going to work and we're about to blow everyone's ears out.
Yeah, well, he needs to... Yeah, he can unmute. I'm going to go to...
Does he know about the Skype setup?
I'm going to go to a different...
Does he have lights ready?
I think Gabriel was supposed to help him with that. Hello, Prawly.
Hello.
Welcome.
Welcome. Myself.
You're welcoming yourself to my show?
Yeah, I'm proud of myself for showing up here.
Yeah, that's good. I'm proud of you too. I'm calling you right now on
Skype. Oh my god!
Can you answer the Skype call and then mute yourself? On Skype.
Hey, that looks pretty good.
Hello?
Hello, can you mute yourself on Skype?
Yeah, I did that.
Yeah.
What am I saying? Yeah, I hope you guys heard that.
What did he say? I didn't hear it.
My set shits on yours.
Set suck. I thought he said something about sexist shit. I don't know.
He said your set shits on ours, just to be clear.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he said I like sexist all the time, shit.
Can I crash your camera, Travis?
What?
Hold on.
When I get home in time, can I crash your...
So if you get home, yes, you can, but only if you bring me a...
How crazy would it be when you go live, I crash Crawley's, go home, and then crash yours?
Mm. Yeah, bring me a yellow vitamin water. Also, can you... Is Gabe still there?
Yeah, Gabe's here.
Can he check and make sure your Discord is using your actual microphone?
Can you check my Discord to make sure it's using the right microphone?
I think it's because
apparently I can't do that kind of stuff, you know. I don't have the brain.
Have you used a computer before?
It sounds not like a great microphone, but
yeah, it is. Yeah, it could just not be the microphone, you know, or it could just be a bad mic, bro.
Careful, sponsors watch this.
This one is perfect, though. It's not working. Nah, they're just making fun of my mic quality.
It's not good.
It's not. It sounds like it's using something else, I think.
It's absolutely fine. Travis is just a stickler.
Mark says that Travis just sucks.
Does Gabe know to bring me a yellow vitamin water when he gets home?
Oh, Travis wants a yellow vitamin water. Actually, he said purple. Purple's better.
No, yellow.
Get him a vitamin water. I'm legitimately crashing.
Yes, he can. He can come and crash it if he gets me the yellow vitamin water.
Hey, can you?
But he said the purple vitamin water.
Yellow.
Hey, can you send Gabe over here to make my lights better? I think there's a white balance issue with my webcam. And I want this light to look more red than orange.
And you gotta go help Mark too, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the white balance is off of my webcam. I need him to.
Alright, he's leaving me now.
Fuck.
Alright. Well, and with that terrible experience, Prawley's on the show. What? Am I super loud to you for some reason?
No. Like, you're really quiet, but everything else on my computer is super loud. So every time I click something, it explodes my ears.
Okay.
Well, I'm just not going to touch my computer.
I'm looking forward to the pain and agony that you'll experience throughout this episode. It's going to be great. It's going to be really great. All right. Well, welcome to the show, Prawley. This is Hotline Lee. Do you know how the show works?
This is the entirety of it.
Wow. I like how it works. It's working great.
Okay.
No, I don't know how it works. You gotta let me know.
Okay, Mark, you want to explain to him and also to the audience how it works?
Yeah. So the way this works is we have a Discord set up. If you guys want to join it, I'm posting it now in Twitch chat, spamming it there. You're going to join that, and there's going to be audio and text channels. You're going to need to join one of the general voice channels, general or general two, and then you're going to put your hot takes in the general text channel, so that way I can sift through those, figure out ones that we want to talk about. I'll pull you into a waiting room if I pick you. We'll go through a little mic test, and then we'll bring you on to talk about whatever it is you were talking about. So this is a guest-driven show. And obviously, since Prawley's on here and 100 Thieves just made a bit of a miracle run to first, probably be a lot of talking about that shit.
Miracle? Hmm? That's what we needed?
Well, so while we're getting questions...
It sounds so dramatic.
What would you call your run, if not miracle? Expected run?
Fully expected.
you expected in the very last minute to win in this big tiebreaker scenario again first?
Yeah. Well, it also required FlyQuest to beat C9 as well, so that was already in the works.
Yeah, okay. Could you describe how it was in the works?
No, because then... it won't work next time, maybe. So okay. I need to keep it. That's my own trade secret, you know.
Yeah. I've been turning down Prawley. I don't know why. He sounds okay to me, but Twitch chat is coaching me to shut you up. So Prawley, you joined. Yes. We haven't had a chance to interview. I talked to Nate Shot instead of you because he'll get me more views. But There was you joined NALCS this year, and you seemingly have performed. H2K, did H2K ever finish first in the regular split?
Yep, we did it in spring 2016.
Okay. Either way,
yeah.
You only accomplished it once while you were over there. You've already done it in your first split here. You feeling pretty good about the roster you built and your decision to come over here and all that?
Yeah, I'm ready next year, going to Korea, and we'll shoot for first and regular season over there, and okay. I can complete the triangle.
What about China?
That would make
they
the
play
rectangle.
Too aggressive for me to want to coach over there. Like they do too many things that I'm like, why does this work? I just don't understand it sometimes.
I watched a game where they literally just fought bottom over and over with no ward set up and just completely pretending a jungler didn't exist. And the jungle came every single time.
Yeah, it's like this weird, I don't know, it's a weird zone where everyone like handshakes like, hey, we're just going to fight and just no one remember where the jungler is and don't worry about warding or like fighting for power spikes. Like team comp maybe doesn't matter. Let's just like, you go here, we'll match it always. So yeah, that kind of style, crazy. I don't know if I could get behind.
For real though, how important was it for you to get, because you were in a situation where you guys had basically secured your bye, and then you had this this tie match between you and Equifax, match between you and Equifax. How important was it for you guys to get first in your mind?
I don't know. It kind of just happened. It was really like, I don't know, when you go to LCS, you just want to be winning. So regardless of what seeding it got us, like that really wasn't like a motivating factor. It was more of like, we're here at LCS and I just don't want to lose. Yeah. So we just kind of kept playing it game by game. And by the end of it, we were like, sweet, it ends up being first place. But it could have been for sixth place and we would have had like the exact same approach.
Yeah. Mark, I've been looking for your tweet that I can retweet. You haven't put it out there.
What? Oh, sorry. I got distracted because I was about to do it right when you told me to intro the thing to everybody, and then I stopped doing it, and then I started pulling guests.
I don't need excuses, it's just results. Do you have any?
Well, then I will not perform.
Do you have any?
You must take my excuse.
Do you have any questions for probably yourself before we get into the calls?
You know, I think a lot of the callers I've seen and what I would expect will handle a lot of the questions I have. But if not, I'll just bring them up at some point if it feels close enough to whatever the caller was talking about.
Okay, that sounds good.
You know, I'm trying to give the callers the chance to shine.
Didn't you mention at one point in time Prawley had said to you guys that your tier list of 100 for 100 Thieves was poor? Did this happen, Prawley?
Huh?
What?
At the start of the show, you said something like Prawley yelled at you.
No, I said someday tweeted out today.
Oh, yeah.
About the tier list. And I said okay. It was that. Funny. I assume it was like mostly in good fun. I don't know. Maybe he is salty. I don't know.
He hates you, and everyone on 100 Thieves hates you now.
That's okay. I don't talk to players very much anymore.
Yeah. Well, on that note, I think there's probably a reason you don't talk to them. They don't mind.
Well, I guess that's just that they don't talk to me very much anymore. Yeah.
The truth comes out.
Yeah, we now understand.
I'm really lonely. Where's the 100 Thieves house, probably?
Come over anytime, baby.
All right. Well, before this gets even more heated, let's ring in some callers. I do have some folks to shout out.
No, I'm tweeting now. I don't have time.
Okay, it's fine. I need to. There's like a whole chain of people I need to shout out. So starting with my PS, Nizzy2K11, Dr. Manhattan resub says, feels good. Thanks for featuring me a couple of weeks ago. I made his hungover morning. Last Caress 77, Cletus Bigsby, OPTSM fan, says, I'm glad to continue supporting your show as well as pay for Mark's food. Kappa, continue to put out great content. Keep it going. I love Prawley, by the way. Mark is so funny. Travis the Unknown subbed. Harrison 951027. Eugene. Metalife. Metadie. Cryptosia. Flushed Hand. Mellow Jello. OPTSM fan. I know this list is long. I'm waiting. Mark normally cuts me off. DTrix42, Danagram, Russell the Muscle, and Crow Beep Boop. Says, here's some money to keep the creditors at bay. Thanks. It takes everything I can to keep those creditors at bay. While we're waiting, probably.
Is that your bed behind you?
It is, yeah. Does it entice you?
Yeah.
Is that a comfy giant couch behind you?
That's my bed.
Oh, really? You sleep on the couch?
Oh, yeah, I don't have a room.
All right. Well, I'm sorry. Rico Suave is on the show. Rico Suave, if I recall, you're calling from New York.
Yes, yes.
And you are a Twitch sub, so thanks so much for that. What did you want to talk about on the show today?
I have two questions for Farley. I guess to start, first one I want to ask is, you think it's harder to coach in NA or in EU? Because, you know, everybody's always shitting on EU, how terrible they are. And then when you go to North America, it's like, you can't be successful unless you have, like, imports from, like, Korea or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just, like, different strengths. Like, I think I talked about it one time. The biggest difference that I've noticed is in A scrims, no one will ever forfeit, ever. You'll be, like, 20 kills to zero, and you'll play the game out until that team eventually closes it. In EU, it's, like, much more lenient. If you're, like, up, like, 2 or 3K at 10 minutes, which is a pretty big lead, games normally just end very quickly or they forfeit.
And are you talking about that, in scrims or...?
Yeah, in scrims.
Okay.
So, like, in terms of coaching, that's kind of, like, the only thing that's kind of tricky because those are both, like, opposite sides of the spectrum in terms of how you approach games. Like, do you play them out or do you just forfeit? It's, like, there should be more of a balance. Other than that, everything is pretty similar, really. Like, I guess another difference is the players really care about mechanics in EU a lot more. Where, like, NA teams, or this is the only NA team I've coached, but these players are much more concerned with, like, how the game's played or, like, macro stuff, as opposed to, like, what happened in this, like, trade or this 2v2, stuff like that.
And I would assume that you would enjoy EU a little bit better, because I remember you being interviewed by Travis about how it was a little hard for you to kind of, like, I guess, coach 100 teams, since most of them are already veterans, and it sounds like you kind of got used to, like, training, like, fresh, new, I guess, players.
Was it more difficult, probably? Because he's referencing, in the interview that you did with me, like, halfway through the split, right before you guys, like, started to lose games, you had said, like, oh, yeah, training these, or coaching these guys is a little different, because they've all been playing for a while, and they all have their own ideas on how things should go, so it's kind of, like, figuring out how all these ideas work together, which, at the time, I interpreted as, like, okay, like, you know, Alpha Mu Medios, like, these guys all have Ryu, they all are like, I know how to play this game, we need to do this. And it was, you know, kind of a difference in opinion. So I think that's what he's asking is, how hard is it, was it more difficult coaching 100 Thieves because of the fact that you had a lot of veterans who all had their kind of different ideas and different reasons?
I would say it's not, like, completely harder or anything like that. It's just very different. Like, with the veterans and coaching them, it's more of a, like, breaking bad habits. And when I approach something new, it's a lot easier because they already have kind of a better base to, like, understand the game. So if I coach, like, a new player, it's like they don't have any bad habits to break. But also if I want to coach something new to them, like, they don't have any, like, precedent set of, like, how the game's played. So I'll have to, like, start from the very beginning. So it's just a give and take. It's just very different. And it took me a bit to kind of figure that out because I'm much more used to just, like, going over the, like, standard of the play and then going through it and it being kind of accepted. But these guys had, like, a much different, like, that habit of how they played the game. So I had to kind of, like, mold from that as opposed to mold just from, like understanding the game.
You said probably that in NA during scrims, teams just play it out. Mark, I remember a couple years ago, this wasn't the case. Like, I heard that teams would, like, you get a bad engage at the beginning and people would be like, all right, remake the scrim, whatever. I don't know, you know, if this lines up with when you were coaching, but I'm kind of curious. This is the first time I've heard that mentality has really changed.
Yeah, I would say when I coached, it wasn't so excessively bad that, like, you couldn't get through a scrim, but there'd be plenty of games where, like, you would fuck up a level one and those would almost always get, like, remade if it was anything like more than some summoners or a first blood. So, like, if you ever, like, got two man invaded and you all died and lost your buff, and you should be like, a lot of the players, especially the junglers, were like, go next, don't want to play this out. In some like early games, you know, you would FF at 10 because it's just like, this is over. So I think that was pretty, I wouldn't say it was definitely maybe a little excessive, where it's like, well, you guys got to learn how to play because these kind of things might happen. There's probably too much forfeiting, but yeah, this is the first that I've heard a lot that like now maybe overcorrected and no one forfeits. I don't know.
I mean, I think when I played in NA, it was like the way it was in EU, where I definitely remember playing like level ones like 5 or 6 times in a row
because
the level one would go wrong and they'd remake it, but they wouldn't change the level one, mind you. They'd literally do the exact same play over and over again and just like see if maybe they'd win it this time. So
CLG in particular would just like do the same invade on you.
Yeah, I mean, I remember it like C9 with like high and Meteos. Yeah, they would literally just like run into us 24/7, and we just had to keep remaking the scrim. Yeah, that's definitely not the case now. So there's definitely a balance in this where it's like, yeah, you shouldn't just forfeit, but there's also something like, if the game is super twisted, it's probably hard to play it out correctly.
Yeah. Rico, you said you had a second topic you want to talk about?
Yeah, I was actually curious to know, like, what is your secret to coaching? It definitely has nothing to do with when you were playing the LCS, but, I've literally followed you when you were coaching in H2K. You got, like, no offense to the players, a bunch of, like, nobodies when they were playing. Yarnin, Kasing, Ryu, Oluwande, Lorelix, I think, who was the jungler. Yeah. And, like, you got them far. Like, what is it? Like, what's your secret to coaching? Like, whatever you're doing great. Like, you have, like, a great coaching record, and I honestly believe you're very, very underrated.
Well, I guess I would like to tag on another question. Do you agree that those guys were nobodies?
Well, I think we were all nobodies at that point. I think Ryu was kind of the only popular one. Yeah. But, like, people knew Odo from, like, Challenger because he was, like, a really competitive player. Same thing with, like, Kjarnan and stuff. But pretty much everyone on that team other than Ryu wasn't really well-known.
Like, I mean, this is the time when, like, XPK and all those guys were still in the league, right?
Yeah.
So it's fair to sort of think of them a little bit as unknowns compared to, like, the popularity that you saw on, like, Fnatic and all that.
Yeah. I mean, at that time, like, I was still, like, pretty unknown. I mean, people knew me in NA because I gave really dumb interviews with some kid with glasses.
I don't know if I had glasses.
Travis described as a kid is so funny to me because he looks like 45, especially since the beard. And like, I can't imagine him anymore looking young.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, he's a dad no now.
That's not true. I'm still in my 20s. Probably. What is your secret? His question, Rico's question is, okay, you've shown that not only can you win with a team of veterans, but you can also win with sort of a new team of non-veterans. You've had a lot of success as a coach. Like, what is it that you think is allowing you to have such success?
Well, we haven't had success yet on 100 Thieves. Like, getting first, that's awesome, but we still have a long way to go.
I mean, you've had success for your window of time. 9 weeks and you're ending up first. Fair. Like, that's not a bad record.
I definitely don't think there's a big secret or anything like that. But I would say one really important thing that was kind of a turning point from when I was a player to when I became a coach was my like willingness to be wrong and be like happy about being wrong. Like as a player, I was like competing a lot. So when I was wrong, I'd always like kind of defend myself or fight for what I thought. But as a coach, it's like really exciting to be wrong because it's just, you're going to be learning more. And it also opens up the window where now your players should be more comfortable admitting they're wrong because they see you being wrong all the time. So as long as there's a balance, obviously, where you're not just saying stupid things all the time and being wrong all the time, but being comfortable with like changing your opinion and kind of when you're in a discussion, looking to understand as opposed to looking to change their mind.
Yeah. As a follow-up to this, before we move on to the next caller, I'm kind of curious, I actually don't know this. I assume, because I think a lot of people think of coaches as kind of one of two, right? Where you are either like a systems person and somebody who can kind of help figure out how to make your players all talk to each other and lead good conversations and stuff. Then you also have the coaches that are like, here's like the genius way that we're going to draft. Here's how we're going to like outplay the other people. Here's how I'm going to like sub in this person strategically and, you know, upset this thing. You know, on that spectrum, like, where do you see yourself?
I'm definitely more towards like, yeah, doing the right thing strategically. Like we're playing the right way or drafting the right way, playing the right champions. But like, there's no way you can omit like communication from coaching. Like that's something that goes into strategy, because like, it doesn't matter if you have this like crazy complex thing, if you don't know how the players need to talk about it in game. So yeah. I think those are like really married to each other. You can't separate like communication and strategy. And I'd say I guess that's kind of it, right? Like, wait, what was the whole question? What was the other thing?
It was just basically, yeah, you can either, and in my mind, I think a lot of people, consider coaching to be either like systems and like emotional support and like, hey, like, this is why I know you're having a tough time right now, player. Like, here's how you're going to get through this or whatever. I kind of think of it as almost like Weldon versus like Reaper in a way. And sort of like the difference, you know, like those are wildly different people who are going to have wildly different effects on the team. But both of them could be considered a coach in their own right.
No, yeah, I think the emotional support of coaching is definitely my weakness, which is why I have like Matt Edwards, our performance coach, who's really awesome. He's there because I know like this is something I don't handle very well, because when it comes to work, it's kind of like, I don't know, just do your job and do it better. So if something's like preventing that from happening on like the emotional side, I don't know how to handle it well, because like I just don't have the exercises or the tools that like, yeah, a professional would have. When it comes to like, yeah, dealing with like stress or like emotions, like I can do things on a very basic level with that, like how it pertains to like competition, but like over a long period of time, like we have to play for like 8 months together, like, there's going to be a lot more like emotional issues that like I'm just not capable of handling. So I definitely need that kind of support from my coaching staff, because that's, yeah, I'm not that kind of coach.
Gotcha.
So speaking about coaching staffs and coaching a little bit, of course, the head coach often functions a little bit like a figurehead for the entirety of the coaching staff. So I understand that this question isn't all about you, but I'd like to ask, since we don't get much clarity into coaching, like how much of the struggles that you guys had to overcome in the middle of the split when you guys were losing games a fair amount and it didn't feel like you had a clear play style, like how much of that problem solving would you say rested on the coaching staff versus the players? Because I think a lot of people will look at the kind of turnaround you guys had and say like, wow, probably really fixed some fucking problems on this team. And like, do you think you deserve a lot of credit for that? I know the nice PR thing to say is like, yeah, the players did a lot too. But like, do you think there were enough, like other coaches in the league who could have solved that problem the way you did? And like that kind of question.
Well, it's not a PR thing to say the players did a lot, because I actually had to get help from the players, because this is like the issues were like, yeah, pretty hard to solve. And it wasn't like I could be an outsider and just like fix them. Cause they weren't, yeah, they weren't systematic. Like, dude, we just need to, you know, play level ones better. And then our team is better. So it wasn't like a really easy systematic approach. So it was really like, we had to handle a lot of things at the same time. So I definitely had to ask for help from the players. So I definitely give them a lot of credit, because I had to ask them to help me out with solving this kind of issue. Cause it's just like the whole team kind of thing. Like cohesion is a really hard thing to solve just by one person. And I'm definitely not a coach that has to do everything by himself and like control the whole situation. Because I want to win in the end. So getting to that win, I'll do whatever it takes to get there. So if that means I have to ask for help, I'm going to be doing that.
Hey, thank you so much, Rico, for calling in. Really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah, have a good one. Probably your red lights died.
In
your room. Yeah, Mark.
Also, you're echoing.
I am.
I'm no, echoing? Travis is. Yeah, I'm hearing Travis while Prawley's talking. I don't know if Prawley's hearing that too.
I don't hear. I'll try to turn it down.
Yeah, I'm not going to touch this light because I don't know how to use it.
Okay, that's fine.
No, we can spend 15 minutes of you trying to fix that light. Don't worry about it.
It's now I'm just blue, right? Blue's a happier color.
Mark, are we okay?
You're not meeting your team colors. Yeah, it sounds better now, Travis. Okay. Thank you.
I'll probably not ready for the next caller if you are if you're good.
You want me to go get
the next caller?
Okay.
We have I think I said already Dietrix42, but just in case not. There is Rocket Orange, who called in before, and by the way, he sounds so much like Rocket Mortgage. We talked about that before. So
I like this name already.
Yeah, Rocket Orange.
Rocket Mortgage Gaming House.
Resubbed since I was busy, but I literally got somebody to cover the rest of my shift because it's Prolly. Wow, that's Prolly. People are getting people to cover their shifts just so they could watch live. Cerubix has resubbed. Kyrix, I Am the Train, Mar2586, and Naked Homeless Man. Resubbed. What a great name.
Watching the show on Twitch right now?
If you want to. Twitch chat is, it's Twitch chat.
Is that the cool thing to do?
Well, you'll get distracted, I think. Twitch chat is filled
with sometimes.
Savages. They don't, it's
probably
like,
been a pro player before. I think you can handle Twitch chat.
Yeah, I look at it, I feel like I'm in some post-apocalyptic movie or something. Kind of like, wait, what's the Australian movie where they're all riding Mad Max? That's what Twitch chat is. Next up, we have Nick Allen on the show.
The end bomb.
Nick,
hello.
Nick Allen, where are you calling from?
Arcadia, California. It's beautiful.
Hey, nice
time of year.
Nice to have you on the show. What did you want to talk about?
Yeah, so I had two questions.
Okay.
So Prolly, this question is for you. As people know that you were once a pro player playing for such teams as Team Legion and Complexity Black, if I'm not mistaken. And that's so my correct. my question is, at what point in your career did you realize that you couldn't cut it as a pro player and needed to become a
there
coach?
It is. Oh my gosh. First, I hate you. second of all, there's really never a turning point, actually. And when I started coaching H2K when they're in Challenger, like a part of me was like, I hope I just go back to playing pro. And it just never happened. So I was like, yeah, I guess I'll just do this coaching thing. It's working out. So there's never a turning point. I'm still waiting for a team to pick me up so I can play mid lane again. But everyone's sleeping on me.
Do you think it has anything to do with the fact that there's no good coaches, but there's plenty of good mid laners?
That's probably a big factor because, coaches are just like, what do they do? We don't know.
Oh, so. Nate Shaw wants to steal your shine again. He's in Twitch chat and he asked, how do I call in?
Okay.
Well, as usual,
I still have one more question.
Yeah, yeah. We're not kicking you off yet. Don't worry. For Nate Shaw, he can hit up the Discord and message Mark and we can figure out, if it can work. But. Nick Allen, continue.
So for my second question, so you played when you were a professional player with such players as Lotta Mortis and I Noobish, who I think most people would not know. This is like, at this point, it's like 6 years ago. It's like five years ago.
This first LCS season.
Yeah, so this is a completely selfish question, which is like, do you stay in touch with these guys? Do you know what they're up to? And
are you looking to make some roster changes, Nick?
We're looking to make some roster changes on CLG for a 5-year-old retired player. curious what they're up to. And then sort of spin off from that question, which is like, what do you think all these old players would think of the ecosystem now, which is like much more sophisticated and advanced?
So the only one that I still keep in touch with is iNoobish. And it's because we were playing like Destiny together, Destiny 2. And by the way, that game really fucked that game up, by the way. I'm pretty upset about that, actually. I'm waiting for my platform where I can talk about how upset I am with Bungie for messing up Destiny 2.
Wait till the end of the show. Because Kelby talks about the Chainsmokers all the time, so you're definitely good to talk about Bungie for like 20 minutes.
Okay. So I play with him. But yeah, back from that crew, I still don't talk to anyone else from them. And how they would react to the ecosystem now? or what their opinion of it would be. I don't know. It's like completely different. Like, we kind of scrimmed back then, but it was never serious, and there was never like a coaching staff, and you prepared pick ban like as a joke, you know? We were just like, let's pick this champion. It's good, right? Yeah, okay. Like, there's very little strategy. Like, you didn't research teams back then. So I don't know. Back then, there was just like, the work you put in was just like as much as you wanted. Like, you wanted to play solo queue, great. Other than that, it's like you didn't do research or prep or like actual analysis or strategy. So it's like we did like 10% of what we do now back then. So it'd probably be overwhelming, maybe.
Kind of following along with that question, I have a theory that the LCS's entertainment value started dropping a lot when Chupers bloopers was no longer a thing. How much do you think that's like we need just another player? Because like they had in the NBA, they have like that JaVale McGee Shaqt and a Fool thing. And since Chupers bloopers, I don't know what we have anymore.
Dude, Chupers, actually, that really made him upset. Like,
oh, did
it? Yeah, he actually really didn't like that. So we like teased him about it all the time because they're really funny. Like, the Chupers bloopers are hilarious. Like, if you haven't seen, we should go look at them because...
Wasn't there like a Neely throwing the spear in the wrong direction or something? They were always like insanely crazy.
Yeah, and he's like TF shit. Ports, yeah. Like he TF ports like literally like flash range of himself and stuff. Like he just did really funny mechanical mistakes. And he's like such a really like super nice guy that like teasing him about it like made it more fun because I don't know, he wouldn't like get mad about it or anything. He's too nice, so it would just you just want to tease him more about it to like try to get a rise out of him. So.
Do you think he'd be all right if we brought back Chupers bloopers on the countdown? Because I want to find a way to talk about that Pobelter teleport that happened in their
match. See, that was like, yeah, the Pobelter one is like, I guess it was pretty bad.
It's prime Chuper blooper there. It's like a
teleport. It's prime. It's prime.
But like, the TF port one is like, I feel like so simplistic. Like, everyone can see it. The Rizal one, I feel like some people are like, wait, why is this bad? Or like, what could they have done with the like, TF port that Chuper did, that's my favorite Chupers bloopers. Like, everyone that plays the game knows, like, wait, what did he do there? You know, there's like no opinions or like anything. You can't defend it. It's so good.
The also hit streak in the chat a little bit ago said he wanted to talk to hear, well, and this is good since Mark, or since Nick is sending us down memory lane, about Complexity Black and their favorite game, Infinite Crisis.
It's great. Infinite Crisis is a great game.
Hey, I still have the MVP from E3 when I played over there.
Was that the best you've ever been at a game? Was that your highest recognition?
Yeah, someone was like, I'm MVP. I was like, me? Really? Yeah. At a video game? I was so excited.
So is it safe to say that you realized you should move to coaching in League of Legends when you were getting MVP for Infinite Crisis?
I was going to say the same thing. It's like Infinite Crisis made probably who he is today as a coach.
It's like it's like the sobering moment where he's like, I need to do something better with my time.
No, there was no moment in my life where I was like, I'm bad at this game. I still don't believe that, you know? So nothing ever woke me up. It just worked out this way.
Can you tell me a little bit about how your time in Infinite Crisis was like the crucial thing in getting first place yesterday in the NALCS, leading the team?
This would be a hard thing.
You're trying to figure out how to explain it?
So over there during that time, we actually... Oh, man. Okay, let's see. We spent time figuring out the game mechanics of a brand new game. So we got better at critically thinking and solving issues. So that led us to succeeding this split with those critical thinking skills we developed.
That's awesome. This got too serious for me.
That's as like obscure as I can make it.
You can say that about anything though. It's like, man, I took algebra in high school, and that really gave me the skills I needed.
Nick, do you have any other questions for Prolly?
No, that was it for me. Thanks.
Probably,
for
do you have any questions for Nick?
It's a great show.
Oh. Yeah, why don't you like ever say hi to me anymore, bro?
We were never friends. I'm gonna go. Okay.
Can you cut him off, please?
Thank you so much. Oh, he's gone. Okay. Thank you so much, Nick Allen, for your question Mari's adding insight and intrigue to the show.
That guy.
As we move on, we got Soaring Beef, who's resubbed for 3 months. Ferdy IRL subbed. KW Salt subbed and said, Nate Shot, my boy. Also, thanks for making all the content, Travis. Nate Shot was in the chat. He could come on.
Is he?
I don't know. He said that he was going to go take care of his dad, so I don't know. Dirty Skis, I think he was just looking for that rush that he gets from Twitch chat responding to his name. Dirty Skis.
He was coming to steal the shine.
Yeah.
From Prawley.
Yeah.
That guy.
Dirty Skis has resubbed, and Petey Boy has subbed this now. Thank you.
Dirty Skis.
So much to all of our subs. We might actually hit 400. We're at 411 sub points. We might actually hit 450, which is the highest I've ever gone. Next up on the show, we got Ice. Who is calling in? Ice, where are you calling from?
I'm calling in from Denver, Colorado.
Denver, nice.
The Sunshine State.
Wait, that's not Denver.
The high altitude state, the hard to breathe state.
That's not Ice. What do you want to talk about on the show?
I wanted to talk about how I don't think 100 Thieves are going to make the finals.
Okay.
Yikes.
I'm excited.
I do not want to talk about this.
Okay. So go ahead. Go ahead and lay it out for us, Ice. Ice.
So
his hopes.
First of all, I think Team Liquid's going to beat Cloud9 in quarterfinals, and then I think TL has a really good matchup against 100 Thieves. In the bot lane, I think they're mechanically better. I know Aframu's a very good shot caller, but I think they're mechanically better. So I think Team Liquid will have an easy time playing through the bottom lane against them. And I also would like to point out that Team Liquid is the only team who beat 100 Thieves since week 6, I think it was, when they started their upswing.
Okay. So basically your argument is like Team Liquid is going to outclass 100 Thieves, and they've shown that they can do it already.
Yeah.
Okay. Probably. What do you think? Mark has muted himself. He's just ready to sit back and watch.
I already know Mark thinks we're going to lose anyways, because every time people ask Mark about 100 Thieves, he's like, yeah, they're trash. They're lucking it in here. Yeah. What? Yeah. I see your segments on the State Farm analyst desk.
I don't think you do.
Okay, maybe I don't remember the good stuff. I just remember the bad stuff.
Yeah. I said you should beat Echo Fox, but I needed to pick an upset, so I picked Echo Fox, but I thought 100 Thieves was better. And then I picked you guys in the tiebreaker because I needed to.
I saw the tiebreaker switch right there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jumping
ship. I was behind points on Jet, and I tried to catch up by just picking bad, like, potential upsets. And then I just inted, and I fell 4 games behind instead of staying 1 game behind.
All right, so probably we got Mark and Ice, who are both against you here.
All right. So this is hypothetically, we play TL.
Yeah.
And they're going to be our downfall for why we can't make
finals. Yeah, so first off, before we get into the good stuff, do you think Cloud9 is going to lose to TL?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I can explain that if you want me to as well.
Sure.
Obviously Cloud9 has not looked great these past few weeks, and I don't think they're going to do well just because they haven't done well since they stopped playing through top lane with Smoothie and Licorice. And I don't know, I just don't think they're playing well. They might surprise me, but they've looked pretty bad.
No, yeah, I'll say C9 right now if they had to play. Like, this, based on these last couple weeks, TL would be winning. I think what they've shown is, like, yeah, I think they'll pick it up for playoffs for sure. Like, I think TL is going to be still really good no matter what, and I'm sure it'll go to 5 games. But I think, like, C9 holistically is, like, has stronger, like, cohesion, I guess, than TL. Like, TL's play style, I think, works best in a best of one.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, so let's just say that there's a world here where Team Liquid does get past Cloud9. Cloud9 can't figure it out. Uh-huh. Team Liquid has beaten you already. Yes. So why will you guys beat them in playoffs?
Well, let's go through the last game we played. I can't remember the first game we beat TL.
Yeah, you guys won.
It was like week three, and you just shit on their bot lane.
Okay, yeah. So their bot lane died? Okay.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I don't remember how much stock I'd put into that first game, us beating them, because it was, like, so long ago. But when they beat us, when we rematched them, like, we lost the game in, like, 8 minutes. Like, we just, they super outlaned us, destroyed us super early. Draft wasn't the best, so that game was, like, really hard to tell, like, how we actually match up against them, because it was just over so quickly, just sheerly through laning phase. And I think in playoffs, a lot of teams lose their, like, aggressive early game, at least at the beginning of playoffs. So we will play them before we actually would go to Miami. And I don't think they'll be in a spot where they're playing, like, yeah, balls to the wall, super aggressive lanes, which is, like, yeah, the one way they beat us that game. So I don't think there's enough, like, and in the best of ones, there's just not enough, like, scenarios where you see us, like, test each other to the limits with, like, skirmishes or, like, macro fights or anything like that. It's really, like, one game we smashed them, one game they smashed us. Like, it's really hard to see how we'll play on stage, but I don't think the way they play will be, like, so monumental that they'll beat us in 8 minutes like they did in the regular season.
Okay. I definitely think that TL will lose if they put Impact on not a tank, but I still think that
Player? Is this a thing? We don't like Impact on carries?
Mark can talk about it, but I don't think he's that stellar from what we've seen.
I mean, they tried to do it a little bit right before 8.4 hit, and they tried to play to their top side, and they just never did anything with it. They, like, killed Huni three times once and then just lost mid and bot and then lost the game.
Right, so now, it does feel like they probably is, like, writing down a mental note of, like, get Impact.
I don't think, I would hope not.
Yes, take advice from me. I'm gold in solo queue.
I mean,
yo, pick some more Darius. That shit was awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so if they beat Team Liquid, who do you think that they will face next?
TSM in finals. I mean, I can't see TSM losing to Clutch or Echo Fox at this point.
Okay. Apparently you can't see TSM losing to 100 Thieves.
No, I don't want to say that I think TSM's going to win, but I think TSM's going to win.
Okay. So you would rather see 100 Thieves win?
Yeah, I would.
Okay, so he's giving you that probably. All
right.
He wants so you to win, as long as but he doesn't believe TL. In you.
Or we beat TL, and then he'll have faith in us for finals. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, that's so right. How I'll will take, you beat TSM if you face them in the finals?
Wait, what was that? Sorry?
So I'm asking Prawley, how will he beat TSM if 100 Thieves faces them in the finals? Because if they beat Team Liquid, you think they're going to go up against TSM?
Wait, how are we going to?
Yes.
I don't know. We're not playing them right now, bro.
Okay, well, his position
we're
was
gonna
that
be a
you,
better team. How about that?
Was that
after
you guys can't
two
win.
Best of fives, do you think you're going to be, like, better informed or something to come
yeah,
up with a game?
Yeah, something like that.
What are you talking about?
All I'm saying is, he's suggesting, well, let's put it this way. Why do you think TSM is going to beat 100 Thieves, Ice?
They've looked really solid. I mean, they might... I think you might be able to ban out Sven. He's looked fairly one-tricky on the Ezreal these past few weeks. But they just have been improving so much, and it looks like Mike Young's really matching up well with his team now, and Bjergsen's obviously been popping off, but I don't know. But I haven't looked too much at that matchup. It caught me by surprise, but I don't know. He looked really good the past few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, the reason I ask is because if you're willing to say that they can't win, I'm just curious. Like, I guess the explanation is you just think they're going to get stopped by Team Liquid, but it's worth kind of going through the whole gambit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, if we did play Team Liquid, are we getting 3-0'd, or is it going to be like a 3-2?
No, I think it'll be a 3-2. I think it'll be close.
Okay, at least it'll be close. That's nice. Okay.
Very good. Well, hey, Ice, one last question for you. The head of video for 100 Thieves wants to know if you go by the name Osquilliams.
No, I don't.
Okay. Because he was saying he thought he knew who you were or that he recognized you, so just wanted to ask. Either way, anything left over that you would say here?
I just want to say I'm flying into LA for quarterfinals, so I'm super excited, and maybe I'll see some of you guys around.
Yep, that'd be
cool. I'm gonna hide.
Mark's gonna hide.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. Mark is terrified of
you. It's hard to catch the casters because after the broadcast ends, we have like story meetings that we do for like another hour. So
yeah,
they're late.
All right.
Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. All right. By the way, at some point in time, there was so at the beginning of the split, I think even before the split had happened, somebody said that they thought that 100 Thieves would win or end up in first place. Then they said that they wanted to be on the show, and I would let them on the show. Mark and I could definitely let them on the show. I just need to remember what their Discord name is, so they should say something. We're getting our next caller in right now, and that caller is Strive, but instead of an I, they have a 1. Hello, Strive. Where are you calling from?
He's a fucking gamer.
I'm calling from Fort Myers, Florida.
From Florida. Okay. Where in Florida?
Fort Myers. About 2 hours north of Miami.
Okay. Are you going to go to finals?
I tried to get a ticket. They sold out immediately, so unfortunately, no, unless I can get a scalper ticket. But yeah.
Well, good luck. You go to a live Hotline League event?
I absolutely would. Caught all 17 episodes. Been listening since September of last year. You guys are awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah. We're still working on that. So hopefully it ends up happening. But if it's probably going to happen the Friday night before if it does. So things are moving along though. But hey, Strive, what do you want to talk about on the show?
Travis, or can I start lying about a cover charge to make some more money?
No cover charge right now.
$20 cover charge.
Well, the problem is it might rain, and we're looking at outdoor venues because there's actually just mostly outdoor venues. And I feel bad about people paying a cover charge if.
Well, we'll give them a poncho. I'll buy 100 trash bags from CVS, and we'll just hand
Strive, them. What is it that you would like to talk about on Hotline League tonight?
Basically, I was just going to say Echo Fox not looking too great going into playoffs, and I believe that them substituting out their mid and support player is definitely a bad sign for them heading in, and don't think that they're going to look too great in playoffs. I think they've played very aggressive all season, but they're not going to fare very well against the endemic teams and just normal play style.
So as I always do, I'm going to pimp one of my interviews here. So I just posted an interview with Anero, who's a frequent Hotline League watcher, the coach of Echo Fox. So his argument was that he was not subbing in players because the other guys were bad or like they're trying to figure it out. It was that he's trying to let those like they feel pretty confident that they were going to get first or second. And if they're going to get a first round bye, they're OK giving a couple players a break, giving the academy team some love and attention and bringing up a couple players there and sort of experimenting with that and seeing how it goes. So I don't know if you believe that or not, but if you do, then it's not like they're subbing in because they feel like they're floundering.
I really don't, because on Saturday, I mean, they still had an opportunity to not be in the first or second seed, I believe. So them kind of subbing in, and correct me if I'm wrong, but them subbing in on Saturday just kind of seemed a little bit worrisome for Echo Fox because, I mean, they really didn't have it locked at that point. And then, I mean, the players look good. Don't get me wrong. They won their game. They won it. But still, it's didn't look too great. And I don't really think that that's a good selling point for them. I mean, it's just a very PR response from the head coach. And obviously, he's got an answer like that. But
well, and I would suggest, by the way, I'm paraphrasing it, so I'm probably not doing it as good.
No,
as
no, I agree. And,
but youtube.com/TravisGafford, you can check it out.
Yeah, I will. I'm subscribed. Watch all of your videos.
Thank you. Well, apparently not that one before you called it. My point is,
you posted it 20 minutes ago or something.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I don't know. It's
been up for a while.
The last one I watched was the double lift one.
Okay. You're on a good path. There's one more.
I will agree with Strive about like, I'm not sure how much I buy it because, like, okay, if you're trying to, like, de-stress and stuff like that a little bit, you can always just get that buy, like you were saying. And also, they had Adrian play in their academy games. This wasn't, like, take the week off, relax. They made him play games that kind of mattered. I mean, the Echo Fox's academy team wasn't guaranteed for playoffs, and they had to win both games, I think, to guarantee themselves to get playoffs. So it did feel very much like there was still a lot to play for, and they were still using Adrian a little bit there. They used DeMonte in the academy, not Phoenix, so maybe he was more on the stress side. I'm not exactly sure, but it did. I kind of see what Strive's saying, where it's like it didn't quite line up.
Yeah. Well, let's broaden this. So go ahead, Prolly.
Sorry. One thing that I was thinking, like, because I was really surprised, actually, that they kept with their subs even when they played against us. But I think if FlyQuest lost to C9, like, which is pretty expected, you'd think C9 could beat FlyQuest, there would have been a three-way tiebreaker for first between us, C9, Echo Fox, and Echo Fox would automatically win that based on, like, the rules. So them beating us or losing to us wouldn't have actually had an impact. Basically, depending on the, like, C9 FlyQuest game or the FlyQuest Echo Fox game that happened. So I think if things were more normal, like, first place wasn't really in our hands. Like, if FlyQuest beat Echo Fox or beat C9, we had a chance for first. Mm-hmm. But without that happening, we actually would have just played the tiebreaker for second, and Echo Fox would have just sat at first. So I think they assumed that these games would go, you know, as predicted, and regardless of how they won or lost this weekend, it wouldn't impact if they got first seed or not.
Well, okay, so it was a pretty good chance then.
Yeah, it was still pretty likely that they would get the bye. But like I said, you're also still having some of your players play in Academy, so it doesn't seem like they're giving them that much time off. Exactly.
So maybe it's foolish to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway because it's, you know, how I roll on the show. I'd like to broaden the conversation out, not just from Echo Fox, but to Cloud9, because these guys were consistently number one and number two throughout the split the entire time up until, like, just right at the end.
The tiebreaker was the first time that they were not in the number one and number two position split.
Yeah, which is crazy. It's crazy. I mean, it really hones in how crazy the 100 Thieves story is. But I'm kind of curious, like, from Prolly and Mark, like, what is there a common link between both these teams? Were they, was it like the
top carry play style that got nerfed?
Okay, so top, yeah, talk a little bit more about that.
Style now playing. Maybe, tank.
Can you just talk about it without whispering?
This song is really good. Can I put it on repeat, please?
Yeah, you can buy the SoundCloud version.
LP.
Okay, so Mark, elaborate more a little bit, and I want to hear if Prolly agrees.
The way C9 played for the first 5-6 weeks was that they exclusively gave him counter pick or set up situations where he would get a winning matchup, like blinding Gnar with GP up against the GP player. So they would set up situations that they would get a winning matchup for Licorice, and then they would play pretty heavily around him. And they were good at that. They're really, really good at that. And then tanks became more prominent. They became more than just Ornn that people were willing to play in the top lane as a tank, because that was basically all they had. Syme rose to relevancy. Cho'Gath came back a little bit. People will still play Maokai or some other shit up there if they want. Trundle is like what has become the counter pick to tanks now. So before it was like Camille, Gnar, GP. Everyone just played this GP metagame basically. So that was something that both those teams did a lot of. C9 would leave up GP so that they could counter pick it and then smash it. And then Echo Fox would just blind GP whenever they could or do something else. And then they couldn't play that way. And I think other people started to key into how they were playing, as well as like their preferred play style got nerfed on 8.4. So I think that's my read on what happened. I don't know if Prolly was paying very close attention to other. I know sometimes you kind of get like tunneled on your team.
How can I not watch other teams I'm competing against?
I'm just saying that, like,
Prolly, do you even know what's going on at ALCS?
Hold on.
He won in the tiebreaker. He's like, wait, we're first place?
Even a little bit. Sometimes I know players and coaches are not super familiar with, like, the standings of teams and, like, the storyline of teams. They'll be plenty aware of what they're doing in game, but, like, you might not know that Echo Fox and C9 both went from 8-1 and 8-1 the first half of the split to 4-5 and 3-6. You know, like, that part people sometimes miss out on.
I mean, yeah, the standings part is like, yeah, I actually don't know the numbers, but when it comes to like picks or play style changing, like, hell yeah, I'm going to notice that. Like, yeah. I can't do this. It's like, yeah, I've been playing against this team and like preparing against them. So, I mean, I think that is definitely a big factor to it. Surprisingly, though, like, I think Sneaky and Smoothie have been playing a lot worse. I think I hold them to a lot higher standards, and when they're like, they're just making like mechanical errors or sort of like mispositioning. Like, they shouldn't be doing that. I think they kind of know these mistakes are happening. That's some of the reasons why I think C9 will be fine, is like that problem I think will fix itself. And them playing topside all year, like, you know, that's not a huge change for a team. I think you could learn that.
Okay. What about Equifax? Because that's how this sort of happened.
Similar thing, their bot lane started getting blasted. It seemed like people just started camping their bot lane.
So
yeah. They're actually pretty parallel. Like, their bot lane started playing a lot worse, and then the top meta changed a bit. So I'd say those are definitely the two biggest factors there.
Yeah, Altec was a first rotation, well, not first rotation, but in the first phase of picks, always taking Kalista, which didn't really have many losing matchups before 8.4, and then she got nerfed, so they couldn't do that anymore. And then they just never found another pick they were stable on.
So the question is, will Equifax come back? Because, excuse me, Strive, I think that was kind of your question, right? Is like, or your prediction was that Equifax is going to just sort of bust her out.
Yeah, I feel like they're floundering right here at the end. It's not looking too good for them, and yeah, they could look better heading into the playoffs.
Yeah. So it will. So probably thinks Cloud9 will recover. Mark, do you think Cloud9 will recover?
Who they have in the first round again? It's TL.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. I don't think they'll look as bad as they have in the last couple of weeks, but I don't know if they're going to. Those two teams feel pretty close to me.
Yeah. And then Equifax, which is Strive's prediction. Do you guys think that Equifax will recover?
I have a lot less faith in Equifax to recover. Because Altec plus Adrian / whatever haven't been to the finals a million times and represented NA on the world stage, and they don't have like a pedigree of doing well in best of fives that a lot of C9's players have.
Probably.
So.
I don't know about Equifax, because I still don't know the reasons for the substitute reasons either. Like, they're doing it because they want extra time for the players to relax. Or, like, I just don't know the real reasons. So will they use these players for playoffs or not? Or are there, like, other issues? Like, I don't know what their problems are, because it doesn't look like it's straight up, like, just strategically you can see it on the field the way, like, I can see, like, C9's problems. So that's why I think, like, C9 is easier for me to, like, I guess, see improving. But Equifax, like, I just don't know what's going wrong for them.
Yeah.
So I can't. Yeah, say so I have faith in it fixing or not.
Strive, thank you so much. I hope that covers your thoughts.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, guys, and thank you, Omen by HB, for sponsoring Travis and keeping this content rolling.
Somebody please clip it. Please clip it so that I don't have to go back and find it later. I can just link it. I'd really appreciate that. Thank you, Strive. So really quickly, probably, can you look a little to your left? Yeah. Okay. A little bit more to your right. Okay. Yep. No. Back again. Okay. Right there's freeze. I just want to show everybody something. Wait. Where's it? Hang on. And push it to life. There we go. I just feel like this is.
That's me.
Yeah. I mean, you remind me of the Valve guy. From back in the day, we just need a valve in your eye, the lighting and everything right now. Yeah, exactly. It's perfect.
They don't look that similar. What? Dude,
I think it's just the nose, the pointy nose you're looking at.
Well, I don't know. I mean, even the facial hair. Look at the facial hair.
But see, he has like a pencil thin one.
I was saying, if you were to cosplay him right now, I feel like you could make it happen.
Yeah, I could cosplay
just,
that.
If you just go run into a... like, wherever the sprinkler is.
Yeah, like a sprinkler system, a faucet.
Yeah.
All right.
First.
Who do we got? We got the Duck in all capital letters. The Duck is on the show. Where are you calling
you
from?
You must yell his name.
When the Duck. And his profile picture is a duck and the a duck. Tuxedo. So
I'm the best duck.
Okay. Did you say you have the best mic?
I said I'm the best duck.
Best duck.
Okay. You're a little quiet.
Let me see if I can turn myself.
I think maybe we're okay. What did you want to talk about?
I wanted to talk about how 100 Thieves and TSM only look relatively good compared to the rest of the league because it's just bad.
Okay. So you want to talk about how NALCS sucks?
No, I don't.
Yes.
I think EULCS kind of sucks too, but it's
everyone
like
sucks.
Well, it's kind of like with the season change and you know the new franchise coming in. Everyone sort of went back to like playing like advanced solo queue instead of playing like teams and trying to actually push the game and you know push up mid so that way you can get some pressure on the jungle or take camps or do anything basically. They all just kind of sat around waiting for other people to make mistakes. And that's kind of what the playstyle was for half the split. And I feel like 100 Thieves, CSM, were the first teams to remember, oh yeah, we can actually play the game proactively and do things. Amazing.
Thoughts, Mark? Probably.
Wait, so you don't like how earlier in the split teams were playing like too slow or too passive?
Well, it's not even like too slow or too passive. It was like they didn't do anything unless, of course, the other team, they were waiting for the other team to drop the ball. And it's still happening to a certain degree. I mean, even when TSM was playing Clutch Gaming, like for some reason, Apollo just walks to the side and gets killed for first blood early in the game on Caitlyn, who you should never die as in lane that early ever. And they just make weird mistakes. So you have Team Liquid, X-Mithy, going, oh, I'm going to take the dragon when it was like a mountain drake and it didn't really matter and just kind of throwing away another kill on top of losing the objective. Or you have people doing stupid things and then teams take advantage of it. And I feel like TSM and 100 Thieves were the first teams that are actually saying, we can actually force teams to make some amount of errors or we can kind of look at what they're trying to do and do something because of it.
I mean, I think that's a really common theme with newer teams, for sure, because I think everyone is, in a way, scared of, like, ruining the game for their team. So no one wants to be, like, push themselves on that, like, I'm going to solo play, solo carry this game. And what happens is, like, you'll get these stalemated teams where, like, one team's not aggressive and the other team is like, cool, let's just farm. And that's how the game will be until someone makes a mistake. But I think as like teams get better, they get more comfortable with like, hey, we're going to try to make the first move because like we can do this and this or something and they won't expect it. I think that's just like a more advanced thing that more teams will get used to as they become more familiar with each other. But I think, yeah, when you play with five brand new players, like no one wants to make that big play on stage by themselves. Like they want to wait until you group as a team and then decide we're going to go team fight now. How does that go? As opposed to like, I'm just going to do this push and invade that we've never practiced and hope it goes well. I think that's just, yeah, jitters on stage when like teams are forming.
Yeah, I think so too. Combined with like, it seemed like we were in a pretty slow meta where like Korean games would have like 3 kills in 50 minutes or some shit. So like definitely felt like more, it wasn't just an NA thing in terms of people playing slow and reserved. And I don't think it was like people remembered how to play. I think some teams just started figuring out their groove and like how they want to play the game as five players. You know, it's not like they just forgot or something.
I forgot about, yeah, the Relic Shield bot lane thing made the game so bad. And if you were a team trying to do something, you would like royally fuck yourself if you tried to be the first one making a play bot lane against Relic Shield. Because they would always sustain it. And if you were the first one making the play, you would have to overextend for the kill. Like, you couldn't just, you know, like, I'm going to one-shot the AD carry and, like, walk away. Like, you literally have to fight them in lane and then push them all the way to the tower because both summoners are going to be up, they're going to be full HP, and then, like, half-dive them and hope it works out. So,
and
earlier in the split is so
up.
Hard. And then stop, like, it gets to 6 minutes, you're like, hey, guys, let's make a play to burn their stopwatch. That was actually like a strategy was you would have to play the game. Your first play wouldn't work. The whole purpose of it is to burn stopwatch. And then you come back and do something again, because the game was like, it's just, if you go all in on a play against stopwatch, you're going to just die. So you literally had to have like a two-step process for one kill. You burn stopwatch, come back and hopefully you kill them. And this is, hopefully they don't have cleanse or flash also. So it's like, there's so many things preventing aggression earlier in the season that, like, I still remember thinking, like, shit, if top laner has stopwatch, yeah, just, like, don't go top because you're going to have to gank it like two or three times for it to actually result in a gold lead or experience lead or something.
So I'm not sure I agree with the deck about like teams figuring things out, but how do you feel about the overall strength of NA right now? I mean, obviously it's always hard to compare seasons with the differences in the games and stuff like that, but do you feel like we're on track to go on to MSI, whoever's going to represent us? Do you think they'll do all right?
Yeah, because I think they talked about this on the dive. I think Jet said something about how franchising made the best teams in North America weaker. With that being the case, like that philosophy, it probably means bad things for us heading into MSI. Probably.
Oh, asking me?
Yeah, I think Mark asked you, how do you feel about the overall strength of NA? And I was saying yes, because people are suggesting that the best teams are weaker.
I don't know. I've always had a really, like, I guess incorrect view. Like when I was in EU, like every year, I'm like, oh man, EU looks so strong. NA looks like trash. And then, you know, things happen, like MSI last year. So I feel the same way now that like I prepare against all the NA teams and I don't have to, there's no sense of urgency when I study EU. It's pretty much like when I watch EU, when they make mistakes, I just like, haha. But in NA, if I see a team make a mistake, I need to figure out, like, why are they making it? Like, what do they not know? Like, so it's more like I'll spend time figuring out, like, the strengths and weaknesses of NA teams, but I won't do that for EU teams. So
did you mean Rift Rivals really happened? You said MSI happened. Did you mean Rift Rivals? That EU?
No, Rift Rivals. Yeah, Rift Rivals.
I was like, you guys beat us at MSI.
Yeah. I forgot. Yeah. No, Rift Rivals was one where I was like, oh, like, we're doing great. It's good. But, yeah. I mean, that was a big thing, I think. About Rift Rivals last year was I felt like NA teams like did some kind of preparation. Like they had like good pick ban and like their play style was good against EU, but all the EU teams I feel like didn't do any research on NA. So like they got like NA got all their best picks and they just played really poorly against NA teams. So hopefully this year I'll still be on the, you know, I'll be on the winning side of NA doing well. But I think the NA scene is good right now, but it's really hard to say with best of ones. Like seeing the strength of a team is super hard.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they just win early game and then that game's pretty much over. They can snowball it. So I think the adaptation that happens in best of series, we have no clue how anyone adapts right now. So judging how teams play in best of fives, I think is hard right now. So judging how they've played best of fives and internationally, I think is like, yeah, you're just kind of a shot in the dark.
You can't control me. One said that I misinterpreted Jat's statement that it actually said it made the best team worse, but it made the best teams better. So sorry if I misinterpreted that. I need to go back and
I forget. I talked to him about that. I think it was like the idea that people can afford to pay more money on lower teams now and offer more stuff. You don't have to worry about getting relegated or something. So
there I wouldn't be surprised if the NA LCS holistically has improved, but that strength is spread out across a bunch of different teams now, and thus our strongest team might be weaker, which would be unlucky given MSI only allows us to send one team.
And I think you're saying other than like a TSM, who should have not gotten weaker. Other teams might have, like CLG kind of blew up and a couple other teams blew up.
I'm not convinced that TSM didn't get weaker, but we'll see.
We shall.
The Duck, does that answer your question?
I mean, kind of. I still think teams don't identify how they win the game very well or how the opponent team is going to win the game very well for the most part. But a lot of the explanations made sense.
Well, I appreciate the call on it. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
All right, we got about four more callers to get through, and Mark is going to go grab the next one while I give a shout-out to some great people. These great people, they're better people than most people on the planet. Thorn719 has resubbed for 4 months. Hey, Travis and Daddy Mark, have a good show. Simus104 subbed. Nadeshot subbed. Thank you, Nadeshot. That wasn't even a gifted one. That was just Nadeshot subbing.
Didn't he sub like 30 minutes ago?
Yeah, well, you bring the people in very quickly. And then I also had to show the Prolly.
Speaking of bringing him in quickly, Prolly wants to pee, but I have already brought the next caller.
Oh,
Do we give him a pee break?
Yeah. I'll finish these out and
you know,
just fill time. Go.
Yes.
We'll be right with you, Stripe. Sorry. Sable Flag has resubbed. Between the awesome content you pump out and showing me Fenron Jenkins' stream, you guys are the best. Shout out to Fenron Jenkins. He's got a great, great stream. Striped, who is currently muted in the channel but is waiting his moment for Prolly to return from being subbed, so thank you to Striped. Sparkamus Primetime subbed RxDealer89. Magmavire Soret. Asmodive510 says resubbed and said woo. And then OMG Cole coming in with the bits. Miles for Days resubbed and says, I need more Kelby in my life. And Carl Fredrickson subbed. How are you doing, Twitch chat? Twitch chat, I just want to say, I make fun of you a lot. But you guys are, you know, you're in a lot of ways the lifeblood of the show. And we have a contentious relationship, but it wouldn't be the same without you. So, you know, much like certain members of my family that I might have ideological differences and different political differences and might make sure that they don't see certain Facebook status updates or photography that I participate in. You guys are great, and I couldn't move on without you.
Great job filling, Travis, because I wasn't helping at all.
No, you were not.
Hello.
Hello. How are you, Striped?
Would you like to play a game?
How are you, Striped? Would you, what would you, where are you calling from?
Everybody, I'm doing pretty well. Hope everyone else is having an awesome night. I'm coming from Santa Barbara, California.
Santa Barbara, not too far from here. What did you want to talk about?
It pretty much comes down to Equifax is the worst team in playoffs, and it all comes down to Hooney being the most overrated player in NA.
All right.
If you want me to dive into it.
Yes, go for it.
Equifax is 3-6 in the last 9 games with wins over a slumping TL, Optic Gaming, and FlyQuest. Hooney specifically has one of the highest death ratios in the league, a semi-decent kill ratio and assist ratio, but that's because they play a scrappy, just fight constantly style. And he has probably the trollest builds I've ever seen in my entire life. So with that said, I could go game through game, but the Gnar with Blade of the Ruin King, Trundle feeding with Ravenous Hydra when they're losing in teamfights and he doesn't have a Titanic.
Those aren't. I don't know how Prolly feels. Do you think those are troll builds?
I think things like Sterix on Gnar is troll because it's a melee only item. And I think Bork is not great on Gnar. I know it's like a Korean thing where you do like Bork P on Gnar and you split push. I don't think it's great. Don't think it's troll. I just don't like it. And I think you have to play towards that. So I think when we played against Equifax, for example, who needed this, Bork build on Gnar, and he came to team fight. It's like that. I think that is more troll as like an idea. Like if you build Bork, sure, you can do that. Just you have to play correctly around it, and you can't make as many mistakes because if you get into a team fight, you're a lot weaker. So if you play towards what you're building, I think it can be okay as long as you're not building like mana items on resourceless champions. I think everything can, you know, be rationalized, maybe not like optimized, but I think it's okay if you play correctly with it.
I will say it is very funny because I mean, I know it makes sense, but whenever Equifax is number one and they're destroying everyone, everyone that calls in is like, I want to talk about how Equifax is the best team ever and Hooney's like the best player in the world and like Rainover was carried by Hooney, etc. And then the moment Equifax starts to show weakness, people are like, Equifax fucking sucks. Hooney's overrated as fuck.
All right. Like, so I hate when Reddit does this kind of thing where they're like, it's like people have different opinions and different people with different. I hate when Reddit says that shit, but like people like Striped can't call Hooney out for being overrated when they're 8-1. So he's got to wait till they come back down to reality and then he can pounce.
I mean,
so
what, I Striped doesn't have a YouTube channel that he's afraid of dislikes on his videos. He doesn't have
downvotes. Yeah, but he's not going to get any upvotes.
Striped, where like, were you week 3 or week 4 of NLCS?
The silent people who just don't comment and just upvote, downvote based off what makes sense to them in the most recent thing, those people are what gets swayed.
I know, but he doesn't have to worry about upvotes or downvotes on this show. I'm not going to hang up on him if he calls in.
Oh, so you're saying why didn't Striped call in before?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Striped, where was this courage week four, week five?
Well, this isn't a point in time where I could have said they're the worst team in playoffs because they actually looked like the best team in the league up until halfway through the season.
But did you think about the Hooney overrated point?
Yeah, you did say
Hooney overrated point. I think has been a thing forever. I mean, he was overrated on SKT. I mean, he was subbed out for a terrible top laner named Untara. I just have never been that fond of him. He was terrible when he was on Immortals.
Can you define terrible for me? Because maybe that's where my
He's not terrible. Like, let's be real.
Because I'm like, he's top. Better than almost everyone in NA.
He's like top three or four, but he's definitely not MVP caliber as he's been touted at least
this
season.
So,
Striped, I do want to say, by the way, thank you for your sub to the Twitch channel. Really, it's really nice of you to do that.
All right, let's get into the meat of the argument. We can debate the hyperboles and stuff, but Hooney's overrated. Probably, do you agree? Because a lot of people were kind of saying MVP candidate, lock this guy in. Then they started struggling. Now other people are saying other people are potential MVP candidates, but
I can't comment on overhypes because I don't really listen to that kind of stuff. So I have no clue what level of hype he was getting. I definitely agree he's not MVP of the season or anything like that. I definitely would never say like, yeah, he's bad or terrible or even close to average. His play style is really unique. And if you study them or play against them, like, you will feel that he's an extremely high pressure top laner. And that's pretty rare. Even when he's like 0-3, he's still pressuring the map. When a lot of top laners would crumble and they're like, okay, I'm going to let my team do stuff. This guy like actually consistently just like throws his body at your team and at your minion waves. And you have to like deal with it no matter what. So I definitely think he's a really strong player. Like, he's definitely a force to be reckoned with. I think his biggest weakness is that's all he kind of can do. If you need him to fit into your team, I don't think he's the kind of person to do that. But if you want to make a team around Hooney, I think he would definitely be a player to do that. So I would rate him pretty highly, but I wouldn't put him MVP because, yeah, he, I think, only does one thing. He does that one thing well, but only doing one thing, I think, is like, you can't be an MVP that way.
I think, this kind of goes into Hanser and Someday, and those players can play that aggressive, like, in-your-face style, but they also have that ability to be flexible and move, and I think that's probably his biggest takeaway, as probably was saying, is, you know, he can't do a lot, at least, like, from what we've seen this season.
So how about we talk about Someday for a second, since we have probably the coach of Someday on. Week 5 or 6 is when those power rankings came out. And we had Hooney unanimously number 1. And we had Someday like 7, 8, 9. Do you feel like there's any credibility to the low ranking of Someday? Because it was based off performance only, not like any sort of history, just through the first 6 weeks. Do you feel like Someday was struggling? Or do you think it was just people horribly off about Someday?
There was definitely a time to split where he was struggling and we were working on that. Can't remember when, but it definitely wasn't like a 6 week long thing.
Well, so that was that rating would have been right when you guys, cause that was at the end of week 5 that you guys lost.
That when we O2'd?
And this when you O2'd against the bad teams.
Yeah.
So that was like literally the lowest point of your season. And then the next week before the games is when that ranking came out.
I think that was what happened then. Can't remember.
It was like right. He was like playing Gnar a lot, I think, and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, probably when he played Gnar a lot. I definitely think it took us a long time to like use him on the team properly. I think partially was like the meta, I think, didn't favor him at all, or playing towards topside that well. Like, I just didn't like it very much. And I definitely, yeah, I would say he's still, even right now, he's not as good as he can be. He's going to improve a lot more than he is showing right now. So I don't know. With him, I'm like, you can rate him as low as you want because like he's still climbing a lot.
I gotta, when he didn't combo the Cho'Gath stuff right with the Skarner, did you?
Oh yeah.
Did you sigh a little bit?
No, I'm not mad about that. Like, cause I know that's like, I can see how their brains are thinking and how they talk about it, and everything is solved on that kind of front, like how they talk and then the way they're thinking, and it's literally like pressing the buttons at the right time. Yeah. And that's normally never an issue for him. So the fact that it happened was just like, I'm glad you're making mistakes like this so I can like harass him about it later. But it's like, yeah, it's not like a deep-seated one where it's like, he's like, I'm just going to fuck up this gank or something. Or, you know, one's talking and they don't know when to combo CC. It's just like, yeah, those kills will happen. We just need to be practicing them more.
Going into the weekend, how did you feel about the matchup with Huni?
I was less concerned about Huni and more concerned about mid and support because I knew nothing about them. I have not been following the Challenger scene other than like my own team. Other than like 100 Thieves, I'm not studying the other.
You're not watching the broadcast?
I'm watching it for my team. That's it.
I'm on the broadcast.
You're on the broadcast. Anyway, so I had to go back and look up these players and like kind of see how their play styles was. And it's really hard to determine like the challenger team's play styles when they're going to be up against like LCS pros, because you're kind of playing like against a different caliber of people, and that can really like dramatically change how you play. So that was like the biggest concern going into the Echo Fox, was like, I don't know how their bot lane's going to play, and I don't know how their mid's going to play now. When before I can kind of predict how LTech Adrian will play and how Phoenix will play. So when we played against them, like Huni was like a lot lower on my tier list for what I need to figure out. And I kind of like, it's like, oh shit, I need to figure out what these two new players are going to bring to the team.
I hate to cut off this discussion, but we do have three more people to get through, and we're nearing the cutoff point of the show. So thank you so much, Striped. And no offense for teasing you at the beginning. I do really appreciate you brought up a really good conversation.
No, Travis, I love you.
Well, thank you.
And a shout out, Omen by HP.
Hey, there's another one. Thank you so much. All right, we got three more people to go, and no new subs, so I just get to hang out here with Prawly. How's it going, Prawly?
I'm here with you and with 100 Thieves' biggest antagonist.
Am I?
No, Mark Z, the other guy.
Oh, Mark Z is. Yeah. Actually, what's funny is we didn't talk about 100 Thieves at all on the previous show, and people gave us a lot of crap because there was so much other stuff to talk about. You guys just kind of had like a standard week. And then also, because I'd been requesting interviews with Nadeshot and he'd been busy, and so I couldn't do the interview until then, there's this one guy on my YouTube channel that kept on every video would say, still not a 100T interview. Where's the next 100T video interview? 100T like interview waiting room. So I'm finally going to get him the Nadeshot interview. He's going to be very, very happy. Mark taking his dear sweet time to figure out who's next. He's laughing, so he's excited about something. I'm excited. Hey, the Tiger Eye just subbed. Thank you to the Tiger Eye with the tier 2 sub. Zabsher as well. Actually, the Tiger Eye came in with Twitch Prime. Awesome, thank you. Feel free to use Twitch Prime on the sub on the channel. Zabsher came in with the tier 2. Thank you, Zabsher. I need to get some tier 2 and tier 3 emotes going. We got Kyrix. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes, it's Harix, but I like Karix. I think Karix sounds cooler.
We got Kaharax on the show. Where are you calling
I was
from?
Calling him Kyrix. Kyrix? Kyrix?
Kyrix? Where are you Harish, calling from?
Oh. Harish shit in Arabic, and so I just named myself after shit.
Okay, where are you calling from?
I'm from Chicago.
Okay, Chicago. Awesome. What do you want to talk about on the show today?
I want to talk about how earlier someone was saying 100 Thieves wasn't going to make finals and they were going to lose to either Team Liquid or C9.
Yeah, and you agree with that statement, so you're here to double down.
No, I want to rebuttal that. And actually, I think 100 Thieves has a high chance of winning NA.
Okay.
So I'm going to start and say I'm a TSM fan, and I think TSM is going to get to the finals on that side of the bracket. But I think that 100 Thieves right now has that mentality that CLG had in 2016 spring, where they were like people didn't really believe that they were going to do well, and everyone's just going to say, oh, CLG is going to lose this round. So they kind of have like that little mentality shift where they're the underdogs and then always make teams perform better. But I also think that Cody Sun and Efremu are both should be top three in MVP choices, because I don't think Huni is that good. Everyone says Jensen and Sneaky and Smoothie, but like the last 2-3 weeks have looked terrible. But Afremu's pulling out really big plays. And then Cody-san is just so damn consistent. And then I think that like in the quarterfinals and the semifinals, someday could hold himself top lane, Fine versus Impact and Licorice. And then the rest of the team will dominate both C9 and or Team Liquid.
Okay, before we get into your prediction for 100 Thieves in the playoffs, I want to talk a little bit. Is that Gabe? Is he finally coming to get me my vitamin water?
Yeah, your purple vitamin water?
It's yellow, you son of a...
Wait, why not get Triple X? Isn't that the only good vitamin water?
No, the energy one is a really good one. Everything else is shit. All right, listen. Everybody's hyping up Afremu. Everybody's hyping up Cody Sun. For a while, people were talking about Meteos over the course of the weekend. I think these guys are doing great. And I'm not saying that I'm not going to vote for them or anything, but I'm a little concerned because it does feel like there's some recency bias here. I'm curious what Mark's thoughts are on this, because like, if Cloud9 and Equifax held those positions for so long over the course of the 9 weeks, and it was because of people like Huni, Dardock, Huni, who the last caller said is overrated, but Huni, Dardock, Smoothie, etc. Is it incorrect, or is it silly to then look at like 100 Thieves' recent performance and say, man, look how good Afremu looked this weekend. He's MVP. Because theoretically, MVP stretches the whole 9 weeks.
Yeah, well, I don't know if anyone remembers, but 100 Thieves was 4-1 at a point, and then went on like a 4 or 5 game losing streak, and then went on a 9-1 run at the end or whatever it was. So like 100 Thieves were decent at the beginning. People were like, oh, they're real. And then after they lost 4 or 5 in a row, they're like, oh, they suck. And then it's like, oh my God, they're really good. And during that 4-1 streak, everyone was like, holy shit, Afremu looks so good. He's amazing. And the games were really long. Like 100 Thieves games were the longest in the league, I'm pretty sure. And they would only win after like 4 Baron attempts, or like they slowly grind out their opponents or some shit like that. And then we would do the mic checks and you would just hear like Afro calling out what they should do. There's like the really famous one. It was like week 1 or week 2, told him to stop damage on Baron, kill the guy when he came in, CC. Like it was beautiful. So I think Afro has been consistent the entire time, and he's peaking at the end, and maybe that's why people are concerned about the recency thing. But I mean,
I just never heard Afro's name before like the last 2 weeks.
Well, that's because people didn't talk about MVP until like week 4 or 5, and during that point 100 Thieves is in the middle of their slump and we're losing a bunch of games. So like right when MVP conversation started, no one was talking about Afremu. But I think if you go back and like want to build a case for Afro, I think it's pretty good. I think it's actually one of the better ones.
If Huni had carried his team in the tiebreaker against 100 Thieves and Echo Fox had gotten number one, would we be having this conversation?
Probably, because Huni, as much as Echo Fox has been struggling, I actually don't think it's all Huni's fault. I think his play style and amount of skill and like how he's playing the game has mostly stayed the same. I think the team has kind of fallen apart around him. Whereas like their bot lane picked Kalista every game and went even or lost slightly despite having a priority pick because they didn't get much jungle attention, and Dardock would like camp topside. And then the meta shifted away from that being a good strategy, and then he would pick Trundle and try and do it. And he would like take a turret at 10 minutes and be up 30 CS, but now his bot lane can't pick Kalista. And then he's playing against like a beast ass bot lane with a split pushing attempting Trundle. Yeah. He has to TP into team fights because now they're forcing. Like a lot of stuff felt like it went wrong for Huni. And I think the criticism probably threw at him is fair, that like he's at his best when he's playing this way. And that's really the only way you should use Huni. He's like this tool that should become your pressure point on your team if you're going to have him on your team. But I think it's fair to say that, like, yeah, he didn't create enough pressure to offset the bot side. So you can hold a little bit of criticism to him, but I don't think he started playing that much worse.
Everybody freaking out in the YouTube comments already. I can sense it. But I'm not saying that I'm not going to vote for Afremu. He doesn't deserve it. It's just I worry because so much of this conversation just popped out this weekend, and that feels so much like...
I agree it feels like it, but, I mean, Jet and I have been talking a fair amount about, like, who's MVP and this and that, and, like, how good are people, and we talked about Hooney, Dardock, and I think it was Smoothie on week 4 or 5, right around the first round robin was ending. It was like, who's your first person MVP, like first split? And it was like, it has to be one of those three guys. And then we didn't really revisit an MVP conversation until, guess what, the second round robin was ending. So it probably feels like we completely flip-flopped our tune, but it was like, yeah, there's been nine more games. So I don't think it's as reactionary as it might feel if you've only caught a couple of the conversations.
Yeah. All right. Well, moving on. Prawly, do you agree with the idea? Do you agree with the caller? Whenever he says that 100 Thieves is going to kick ass and take names and kill everyone this playoffs.
Yeah, this is Kareix.
Yeah.
Smartest guy I've ever heard.
Yeah, exactly. It's always hard when we have a coach or a player on and somebody calls in and they're like, I think that this person's team is the best team to ever exist. And it's like, all right, how do you respond to that, Prawly?
Do you feel like you get, I mean, like you talked about some things you want to fix with like some of the execution on ganks or something? Like, how close to peak do you feel?
I don't know. Not really close. Like, I think we're doing well. We're, like, improving week by week and stuff, but I don't know. Even, like, at the end of the season, I'm still amazed that we lost so many games. And even in our wins, like, our mistakes are things that are still within our grasp to improve. And we haven't had that game where I'm like, I need to really press this team now to, like, get to the next level. It's like, I think everyone sees where we need to be, and we can still get there. So definitely don't think we're, like, peaked yet, or, like, it's going to happen in the next, like, week. I guess, ideally, you want it to happen in, like, 2 weeks for us. But, I mean, I think we're just playing really well right now, and it's going to keep improving, because that's just, like, how the team got to here was not through, like, the meta changes or anything. It's like, we got to start improving this quickly because we went through so much, like, muddy water and shit together that we like got out the other side as like a good team. Like,
yeah.
I think during this split, like especially when we were going like 0-2 and stuff, that was like a make or break for a lot of teams. I think we could have just gone straight downhill from there. But we like got out of it alive. So I don't think we're like planning on like stopping anytime soon. Like, I think the growth of this team is going to be hitting a ceiling probably in a couple months.
Kyrix, thank you so much. I wish we could have you on a little bit longer, but we got two more callers to go, and we're running over time, so thank you.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, have a good one. All right, two more people. I want to give a shout-out to Job Creators and PF Builds, both of which sound like websites. I've got companies now.
PF Chang?
Subbing for me. PF Builds. I don't know what PF Builds, but PF is like some... must be a game.
It's the guy who made PF Changs. It's just...
He's a league pro build creator now.
He's a construction company. All right, we got Izento on the show. How's it going, Izento?
It's going pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Very, very good. Where are you calling from?
Calling from LA.
Hey, Los Angeles, California.
Hey, yo.
I live there. What do you want to talk about?
So I wanted to revisit the conversation of coaches getting blamed for draft, because, you know, that was a very big topic back in last Worlds, and part
of even recently with Zix, people wanted Zix fired, and that was, people were saying it was because of the draft.
Yeah, exactly. And I have a problem with a lot of coaches kind of displacing blame away from themselves. And players also defending that as well, too, and saying that it's not necessarily the coach's fault, because I think it boils down to more than that, because it's a very nuanced topic, of course, because, you know, it has to do with the players' champions pool and, you know, what they can do with certain champions, whether they are meta or not. You know, just for instance, like Kuhi, Aurelion, Soul. Like, sure, that's not necessarily a meta champion, but he is good with that champion. But I think it's a coach's responsibility in order to instill this following of the meta, because when you look at the meta and you think of the purpose of what the meta actually is to the professional scene, it's to play at the highest level possible. And the most optimal way to do that is to play towards the meta, because those are the OP champions. And so I think a coach should ultimately be responsible for what is, you know, played within the games.
Okay, so you think that would you say the coach should be 100% responsible for the draft?
No, I'm not saying 100%, because there's also a player skill curve or ability to retain knowledge, because that varies between different players. Some players, you know, they are good at a specific champion better than other champions. For instance, Phoenix on Azir, he's very good, more than the average LCS player on Azir. So you can say that his skill curve for that champion is higher. And you can assume that that goes over on different champions as well, too, regardless of if they're meta or not. But I think there still should be a culture instilled within the team to learn meta champions. And if a coach's draft is necessarily ruined because of a player's champion pool, that should also fall upon the coach as well, too.
Probably. How do you respond?
No, yeah, I completely agree. I think it's...
Well, I feel like I did an interview in the past where you were like, hey, listen, I'm not the only person doing the draft here. Like, it's a conversation, and these... That's how you sound, by the way. And, like, other people should be, you know, they're giving me advice on who they want to play to.
Yeah, I think that's more like an insight to how it works, as opposed to, hey, it's not all me. Because I would blame myself for every single draft we've done. Like, good and bad. I would say it's all, like... Because ultimately, it's all the decision or all the information I get from the players, information I get from scrims, and then like how well we perform in these champions. And it's ultimately like I'm deciding what we're going to pick, even to the extent where if a player says like, let me play this champion here, it's so good. It's still ultimately like if I'm sitting there in champ select being like, no, we're not playing it. I don't think the team is going to be like, no, like, don't listen to the coach, pick what you want. It's like. So I think even when I'm like, when I hear a player say like, oh, I'm really confident on this champion, let's play it. Like, it still feels like I should be responsible for allowing that or not allowing that. And it's up to me to kind of judge, like, is this right to like, let him do this confidence pick over like a safe pick or something. So I'd still like hold myself responsible for that and judge myself, as opposed to being like, well, the player wanted to play it, so it's all on him.
Sorry to interrupt, but so then what is your opinion on those coaches or those players that kind of shift the blame away from the coach themselves? Because as you're saying, you take responsibility for the actions of your players and whether that they can play these meta picks or everything. But in the past, coaches have said, oh, well, it's all about how the team coordinates together and how, you know, the meta picks mesh together and they can't necessarily play these picks. So you shouldn't necessarily blame the players. And yet you shouldn't necessarily blame the coach as well, too. So, you know, which is it? Do you blame the coach or do you blame the players? Like, should the coach necessarily take the whole fall for the team or what?
I guess it's kind of up to what that coach is capable of. The reason why I take responsibility for that kind of stuff is because I know I can show a player how to play a champion correctly if I have to. So if we're not picking a certain champion because like we didn't learn it or something, I'm sure some coaches will say like, oh, my player just can't play that champion, so we didn't pick it. I think it's more of like I didn't do a good job of like making him believe this pick can work with him and with his play style. And I didn't like show him the right things or like I didn't give him the opportunities to play it correctly or learn it correctly, I guess. So if one of my players is not playing a meta champion, I had the ability to fix that. And I just didn't put enough effort into that or I just wasn't focused on it, or I was just like wrong about how to approach it. So I would take that blame upon myself because I know I'm capable of teaching that player how to play this champion if we really need it. Other coaches, I don't think are that focused on like, this is what they want to do. You know, like, I mean, I still play the game a whole bunch, so it's a lot easier for me to like get on their level when it comes to learning a champion. But I think other coaches like only use the information from scrims or only from other regions to kind of determine what pick ban's going to be. And I kind of use also like the fact that I still play and I kind of understand how like my players like learning curves will be with certain champions and how they'll fit. So everything that has to do with pick ban, I can always fix it and improve it if like I put that much work into it. So if something goes wrong, I won't always take the blame for it. I think okay. That's just like a comfortable style for coaching. I think if you want to just say like pick ban is like a team thing, I think you just won't be pushing yourself as a coach. So that's like my answer because that's how I want to approach it to get better as a coach. I think like judging other teams, I wouldn't just blame the coach personally, because I don't know what their role is on the team, like as a coach, what they actually do for pick ban.
Right. And just to play devil's advocate, like Zabutin at the start of the split was very much about like player empowerment in terms of like what they were going to play and stuff like that. He did a couple interviews where he was like, yeah, you know, if a player wants to feel something, I'll pretty much always be like, sure, you know. And I think you kind of saw that one time that felt like Arrow was like, I want to play Draven. And the like team blinded Caitlyn. He was like, I'm playing Draven. They picked Draven into Caitlyn. He fell down 40 CS. Like, I think if you want to blame the coach for not having a more strict methodology in that system, I think maybe you can levy that criticism, but then you're talking more about the structure that they set up, I guess. So I don't know. I think it depends on which team does what.
Yeah. And that's maybe going towards the Korean mentality, or what I assume is the Korean mentality of that the coach kind of has this full control. And so they're able to dictate exactly what the players play and whether they study meta picks or not. And maybe that's why the Korean meta is usually at the forefront, because they are the ones innovating these picks. They're the ones actually perfecting these picks themselves. But speaking to actually improving a player and improving their meta picks over time, then what do you have to say about Ryu and his previous performance over the past on, you know, H2K, because he always had a problem with playing meta picks themselves. So
Izento, I'm super sorry to do this to you, but we're 15 minutes over time, so I can't further the conversation.
But my bad.
I really appreciate the conversation just about coaching. I think it was really good. Sorry to cut you off.
Can message me or something, yeah. And we'll tweet about it. We can get to that.
I'll get to you at LCS. How about that?
That's fair.
Okay. Thanks, dude.
All right. Hey, before we bring on the next caller, probably I just have a quick question to you. How do you feel about, you know, Ryu? Because some people have criticized his champion pool and mostly playing like Taliyah and Ryze. So, like, you know, would you say you deserve any criticism?
Yeah, dude. If my like
I brought honestly, dude, back if Ryu can't play a certain
champion, dude. I'm sorry. It was just such a good question.
Yeah. It is really all my fault, because like if I can't make, I don't know, look at this fucking OP champion, 100% win rate. If I can't make that champion look juicy for my player, then like my approach is wrong, or maybe I'm just wrong about how the champion should be played relative to my player. Like, there's something that I'm not getting at correctly.
Sure, but I have a question. So like, I don't know if this is the case with Ryu. We don't see him play Azir very much. It feels like his Cassio's fine. He can play some of the standard control mages, but like, do you feel like you deserve the criticism for him not playing Azir? Or is it at some point where you're like, I've tried, I have done my best, it has not worked, and these other strategies are more likely to result in a win, so I'm just going to go with them. But like that first problem of not learning the Azir or something, or whatever champion you might have or more personal experience, like, do you feel like you still deserve the most blame for that? Or do you feel like, you know, at some point some players do have certain affinities to champions and it's fine to let them be that?
Well, like the way I want to coach, like, yeah, I want that blame. Like that should be on me, because yeah, stuff like even the Azir, like, I mean, he's gotten a nerfed again, but I still think he's super playable. So if we're not picking him, it's like, I have to have a reason why we're not picking like a strong champion like that. And if I can't like convince Ryu to play it, or like make him like, or help him improve on that? Like, dude, how can I not make a player better? Like, that's my job. So if he can't play this champion, or like the team can't play with this champion, like, dude, that's, that should be all on me.
Saucia,
okay, if he misses a skill shot, that's something like I can kind of help with, but it's sometimes that's going to be out of my control. But realistically, like, dude, if he's throwing a skill shot, I could probably help him with that too.
I mean, cool. So when I came with that Ryu question, I didn't mean it to have it sound so harsh, because I believe that Ryu has improved with his champion pool, like specifically Talia. If you guys remember last year on P1, it's fucking awful. Probably one of his worst champions, I would think, with playing with Talia and specifically playing with the team. His ults were just god awful, but now he's looking quite better, you know, on 100 Thieves. So was this kind of a champion that you pinpointed and said you had to work on this? Sorry if I am asking like additional questions.
No, Mark. You wanted to continue the conversation. I have now cleared the next hour of my life so that...
Travis, don't put back it on me. You were the one who did the action.
Mark, you can't... You can't have it both ways, man. Alright, you want it to go long? It goes long. You want it to go short? It goes short.
And I asked the question, and you brought it. How is that? Channel.
You're cutting in and out for some reason.
I was saying you put him in the channel, not me. This is you wanting it both ways.
Hey, sorry. I do interviews at the LCS too, so maybe let's just save that one for probably.
Yeah, sounds good.
Thanks. All right, guys, have a good night.
Thanks, dude.
That feels, I don't know how to feel like when I'm asked a question and I'm not allowed to answer it now. I'm like, what do I say now?
Nothing.
We get the last guy.
We're moving on, probably. All right. This is not some democracy. You can grab the last guy.
Yeah, I just threw him in. I know it's my quirks. What up, Shotgun?
Shotgun is here. Shotgun, do you want to explain? Here, I'll give you the mic. Go for it.
All right. So what happened was after week one had ended, so going into week two, I had called in and made the bold prediction that 100 Thieves would finish first in NA. And I've done that. And during that week, you said that if I had correctly predicted that I could come in here and do a little victory lap. So I'm coming here for my victory lap now.
Yeah, what?
And I want to thank you, Prolly.
What was everyone's reaction whenever you predicted it? I'm trying to remember.
Is it great?
I don't remember exactly.
I remember, Travis, you were kind of giggling about it. I don't remember exactly what Mark's reaction was. I think mostly just had his head in his hands. Yeah.
Sure. I think I definitely didn't agree with you. I was not like, 100 Thieves is going to finish number one, but I don't think I thought it was the craziest idea. I don't remember where I landed.
Did I clip it out and put it on YouTube?
You did not clip it out specifically. Okay. But
I know we clipped out like the Cloud. Somebody predicted Cloud9 would not make playoffs at all this split or this year, and somebody predicted 100 Thieves would not, or sorry, TSM would not make finals at all.
Yeah.
So we will see, but congratulations. How did you know, Shotgun?
Yeah, how did you
I just felt like the team was really strong. I know we had like the weak spots, but like overall the team just felt really strong. And when I saw that clip of Aframu shot calling in Baron Pit, it just really felt like the whole team kind of coalesced really well.
How much is because you saw Prolly was going to coach this team?
Actually, not a lot, because I'm relatively new.
All right, this interview is done.
I'm relatively new to the world of like LOL esports. I've only been watching the past like 2 years, so I didn't know the whole like Prolly taking an EU team to semis that much. But I got into it afterwards.
There's not much to know. There's not much history for Prolly.
I'm sure.
My heart.
It was probably being involved was never,
Yeah, but I feel like he put together a really solid team, and I just want to thank Prolly again for making this possible for me.
What happens a lot of people helping.
This is not only me.
What if Prolly doesn't make it to finals? Will you be angry with him?
I'll be a little sad. I can't be angry. He brought us this far.
You can be mad. You should be mad.
I'll be disappointed. Mad too.
Oh, that's worse.
I know.
Well, Shotgun, I think you're the first Are you the first, Mark? Help me remember. Is he the first person to be able to get the is he the first person to be able to get the victory lap on the show?
I think there might have been an Echo Fox guy who got a victory lap, but I don't know if he still is running.
We need to take away his victory lap if that's the case, because they...
Yeah, I remember someone was like, I called it, Echo Fox can be the best ever, and it's like,
yeah. Yeah, I think that's right. I think I remember. But he didn't get the... It wasn't the full reason.
Shotgun, where do you think they're going to go in playoffs? Do you think they're taking the title and going to MSI?
I think so. I haven't actually seen the bracket yet.
Be careful what you say, because this is prediction number two. You've predicted them to finish first in the split. This is your chance to continue being... Like, you can take Crumbs' title as the wizard? What was this? Whatever.
The prophet.
What happens next? Shotgun.
I think they're probably gonna win. I was just looking at the bracket real quick.
Sure.
Yeah,
most likely getting TL and then TSM.
Mostly getting TL or either TSM or Echo Fox. And I mean, we just beat Echo Fox yesterday. So
twice
until the finals.
Yeah.
Finals. That's the only place we can meet TSM, I think.
Yeah.
Raleigh's like right. That's correct, right?
I mean,
I was just saying, I was like, who are our first round? I was like, think yet. Can't play. Okay.
Yeah, it's either TL or C9, most likely TL, and then either, I forget who the other team was, but it's like TSM or Echo Fox for the most part.
Yeah. There's a reshuffle element there. Anyway, so you think that they'll win. Your next prediction is that they're going to win finals and go to MSI.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
Wait, why are we going to win, though? What's our strength, by the way?
I really think that team cohesion is a big strength, and you guys being able to like do things on the map really well, just as well as like really strong support and mid play have been really helpful for us.
Any good pick ban or infrastructure you think helping the team, or is it mostly just the players and especially the bot lane?
I just think the whole team synergy. I don't think it's necessarily any one like major factor. I just think it's a well coached, well organized team.
Gotcha. Well, thank you so much, and congratulations on your run. Where are you calling from again?
Yeah, nice job.
Ohio.
Ohio. Hey, we got the Ohio guy on. Risen Lazarus claims every single episode there's someone from Ohio. I love that at the last minute somebody came in from Ohio. So thank you. So much congratulations on your win, Shotgun.
Yep, thanks. Goodbye.
All right, really quickly, by the way, somebody donated $10. I don't normally take the calls, but it's at the end of the show, and it's interesting. Matei donated $10 and said, can Mr. Hamad, is that how you pronounce your last name, by the way?
Hamad? You don't know my last name, bro?
I don't know how to pronounce
it. It's not even like a hard like last name. Hamad.
Listen, what else would it be? Hamid,
I guess? I just try to be respectful.
That's like an E.
But next time, I'll just mispronounce your shit. Can Mr. Hamad...
Try it out. It's fun.
The Zeus God.
At least, like, the school teachers would say, like, Hammond. Like, put a fucking phantom in the last...
John Hammond, the actor from Mad Men.
So, yeah, I got Hammond a lot in school, so...
Can Mr. Hamad, the Zeus God, comment on PoE Zeus pick Sunday? Looks like a straight int pick into Swain. And that Zap has no draft control. Barbecue Olivers has picked it 3 times versus Azir and LCK, but Azir was open for PoE to pick. Declare PoE was inting, please. Thanks. So you don't have much space here. You just have to say PoE was inting.
Yeah, I think it's not a question anymore.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It starts as a question and ends as a command.
I watched some of it. I didn't watch all of it. Because when I realized that they weren't playing serious, I was like, okay. I saw the Ziggs pick, and I was like, that's cool. But... I think in LCK, I think I like the way they used it, but I'm still not a fan of the pick. The way Optic used it, I'm like, sure, like, yeah, he inted, or is that what you want to hear? PoE inted.
I
mean,
I don't care. It's what this.
He didn't build Nashers on Ziggs, so that's nice.
This person paid me $10 to get you to say he inted, so you just did it. I feel like the
I'm very cheap, Travis.
Yes.
What was a bigger int, the Ziggs or the support Zillion?
Support Zillion? I don't know. EU actually likes support Zillion a lot.
Every time I see it, it just sucks.
Like, I don't know. I played against it in solo queue, and it looks good. But then every time I'm like, thinking about a team comp, I'm like, Zillion support. Nah, that's not going to work. Let's not pick Zillion support here. So I think ideally it looks nice, like on paper. But then when you like start running the champions around, it's like, whew, this feels terrible.
Well, I want to wrap up the show here. First off, I want to give a shout out to the final people here who supported Palaven, Benjamin, Vanilla Bear Scrub, so many things, resubbed and said, yay. It's Volks says, this is the Prolly show now. Sin of Friday resubbed for 6 months with Prolly X Travis less than three. That's, I appreciate the 6 months, but
less than three.
Yeah, the less than three. By the way, it's Volks and Sin of Friday resubbed at 6 months. It might be the first time I've seen 6 months. Thank you, everyone, for supporting for half a year. That's crazy. Rush on the Bench Forever resubbed and said, the sub is brought to you by Omen by HP Kappa or SOTL Kappa. That's, I need to get, if somebody can clip that, there's so many great moments I need to share with the sponsor. And Mellow Jello 100 shot us 1,000 bits and says, thanks for the show, guys. Thanks, everyone, for supporting. Mark, you got any shout outs, plugs, anything you want to say here?
I don't think so.
Yeah, there's nothing.
No, I changed my mind. I believe an offline TV video should be coming out tomorrow/this week.
Okay. That is tomorrow/this week.
Oh, hey, I also want to pitch an idea and I'll just do it on air because see?
The last time you did this, it's going to make me lose a lot of money and Lucas spent a lot of time.
But it's going to make people really happy. Okay. And hopefully that's what this does too. I want to do a video series, kind of like it called the Dunzo Manifestos, where it's just like the end of the split and you just get like a team together and it wouldn't be live stream. So that way people don't feel the pressure of like having to watch what they're going to say. And we just get the team really drunk and we just shoot the shit about like, I don't know, whatever it is. Like, oh, that guy flamed me, this, like, whatever.
I'll be shocked if you can get a team drunk.
So like, I'm going to try and avoid
going. Like 2 beers.
No, I don't mean that. I'm saying like, yes, I agree, probably not difficult, but challenging from a sponsor or from an organization.
So fuck sponsors. I'm going to try and avoid all management and just do this behind team's backs. But, you know, I just feel like there's some element lacking in esports recently, especially League of Sports, I should say, with like the amount of just like realness that you sometimes see. And like the laid back realness. I think there's like a lot of team drama realness and like people approaching it like a job realness. But, you know, like when TL got knocked out of Worlds in season 5 and we finally lost the gauntlet, like what happened was like everyone was just so stressed out, finally relieved, like everyone just got fucked up and we just like kind of spilled our guts. And it was really funny. And like if you did it in a controlled enough environment with a camera and you promised to like cut out all the worst bits or whatever it is, I want to see if I can pitch this to some people.
Like as a form of entertainment or a form of like this will improve the team because they get to let us.
It's purely as a form of entertainment. Just like,
okay.
Look where you know, it's after it's playoffs. Okay. Shut the fuck up, Gabe.
Don't talk to Gabe that way.
I'll talk to Gabe how I want. Gabe, what do you think of my idea? Did you hear my idea?
Me?
Gabe. Oh, did he leave? I'm watching the stream.
He left.
The actual thing. My bad. Fuck. All right, I don't know if it's going to work. It probably won't, but I just want to try and get some teams. And maybe like it'd be great if I had players from multiple teams. Just so it's like, dude, fuck you that one time you can't mid. That was bullshit. And then I can splice it with gameplay.
If you
footage.
Do it, I will be very happy. The problem is there's a reason I don't do drunk state of leagues anymore. And it was because sometimes
it's not live.
Like, what?
It wouldn't be live. It'd be a produced video.
Yeah. That's, so maybe that maybe increases the chances of it.
But you have to have like different roles from different teams, because if you have like two mid laners, they're just going to argue about a matchup for like 2 hours. So you need to like not get the same lanes, or else they'll talk about some stupid matchup.
When you said the Dunzo Manifesto at the end of every split, I got really excited because I thought what you were going to say is we find a player who's not going to continue on with his career and is retiring, and they just let loose on every opinion they've ever had. Like, fuck this guy, I hate this guy, like this is over, like you suck, Riot
sucks. But it
sucks.
Has to be like the Link level sucks. Where he's just like, fuck it, I'm not playing anymore, you know? Like, I don't know if it's easy to find that. Because Link was like, I'm done with the scene on that note.
Yeah. Until he comes back for Team Liquid on the bench for 3 weeks, so then doesn't...
So probably don't tell Nadeshot or Jackson or whoever else would care about this, but I'm going to probably reach out to like Meteos whenever MSI/playoff ends for you guys.
For this idea?
Yeah.
Wait, so you just said it to everyone to for me not to tell. So if
I don't think Twitch chat's gonna Twitch chat's not gonna sell me out. It's gonna be if your players find out, or I guess your org finds out, I'm blaming you.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
There's
like how there, I have to rely on Twitch chat.
You're really in a terrible position. You were literally creating video evidence right now.
Nate Chatter Jackson.
There's literally you're creating a this is like if Deep Throat brought like a vlog camera along to meet up with the Washington Post people.
I don't think anyone knows that reference and they just heard the word Deep Throat. Like I know what you're referencing, but I doubt Twitch chat knows what the fuck you're talking about.
Twitch chat is spamming.
Twitch chat knows Deep Throat.
Twitch chat is spamming snitches get stitches right now. It's just so great.
Goddamn right.
They're just spamming it. All right, there's 1,428 of us, including the three of us, watching right now, not to mention the thousands of people that will watch the VOD, but no one fucking say shit, okay?
Yeah, just keep it on the DL. I'm going to try and get some players to get drunk at some point after the season ends and just shoot the shit and put out a video, hopefully.
All right. Probably, do you have a shout-out, anything you want to say?
Yeah, shout-out to 100 Thieves fans. You guys are awesome. And when do... I'm actually... not done because I heard something that I get a platform to complain about Bungie at some point.
That's right now.
Yeah, right now.
That's right now.
Yeah.
Have you guys played this game, by the way?
Destiny.
No, I heard it was shit.
Yeah, I have it. I actually have sealed copies of it right there, two of them, because I got a discount from a friend that works at Blizzard.
So this is like a really like dangerous spiral in like creating games that's like just ruining all FPSs because FPS like since like Halo, other than like CS:GO, if CS:GO is not your thing, like not many FPSs are great right now. Like Call of Duty, I'm curious how the next one's gonna be, but the way Destiny 2 dropped is like gunfighting, everything feels really good, right? But the way they balanced the game was to favor casual players, so they took away like all intense like semi-intense mechanics and like outplay ability where like everyone is like just neutered and kind of shooting each other with nothing. And I feel like this is happening a lot more and more where games are actually trending towards this, where they're like, I understand casuals are going to be more often than pros or anything like that, but like dumbing down games to an extent where it's like there's nothing to get better at and you kind of just play the game and everyone's like essentially around the same skill level because there's no ceiling anymore.
I'm a Melee fan, so preach, brother.
I mean, so you have it a little bit harder because like not many things.
See,
like,
I really am happy. So World of Warcraft did this, and I'm super happy about it because when I was
in WoW's school, different though, because WoW's not like only PvP. You don't really have like an option. Like Destiny had a PvE element, but they did the exact same thing, where it's like super dumbed down. So like WoW, if you don't like the dumbed down PvP, you can just PvE and it's fine. But like FPS, your only like way to play this game is you go shoot other people. And when you take that away, it's like, why play this kind of genre?
Because you can build things.
Well, in Fortnite now.
Yeah, that's what I was joking.
So like, Fortnite did a good job.
Man, but I like Fortnite and I appreciate what it did. But at the same time, I'm like, you just made guns inaccurate. So I didn't feel as bad when I missed people and now I build walls instead. That feels like, I feel like you put bumper lanes up in my game when I was like, dude, what the fuck? I was happy missing. Put the bumpers down. Let me gutter ball.
Okay, go play a game like an FPS where you can't build. It's going to feel so bad when you're like, there's like a bridge above you and you want to get there and you're like, now I have to walk all the way around and waste like 30 seconds. In Fortnite, you're just like, fuck it, dude. Bridge,
yeah, so here, explain this to me because I've only played Fortnite a little bit. But like I played PUBG a lot before. I want to like Fortnite because I kind of enjoy the fact that it's so popular right now and that it seems more approachable and just like
definitely more your speed.
It's better. It's a better creative game. But I'm enjoying PUBG more because like in Fortnite, I'm watching and people are like actively building walls while people are shooting at them. And I'm like, that just feels like such a weird mechanic. Like I'm building a wall. Right, it's really weird.
Okay, it's really weird. Like, I remember the first time I played Fortnite, I literally was just laughing, and I was, like, breaking walls. Like, how is this an FPS? Like, I was really confused.
Yeah.
But when you play it, like, it feels a lot better when it's not, like, in FPS, like, the general consensus is, like, they get the first shot, they win now. Like, that's how a lot of FPS are. Like, you just die before you can react. And this game actually gives you a chance to react and do something.
I just wish there was, like, a shield or something instead of, like, I'm building a wall for a house that doesn't exist and will get destroyed. It's just such a weird mechanic. You know?
That is essentially your shield. You'd build a wall, and then they can break it, and you have to build it again for your shield. So
yeah.
Like, I don't know. I like Fortnite a lot. I know I kind of BM'd it there. I think it's really cool. I just don't like how with an assault rifle, I can't hit someone 100 meters away reliably. Or like...
Okay, yeah, it's like the spread on it, the RNG, like, is too high, I think. Because it's projectile-based bullets. Yep. It's not hitscan.
Yep.
Yeah, conversely, Ovi told me that the shotguns are hitscan.
I don't know about if they have different things for different weapons. I mean, there's a bunch of weird mechanics in general. Like you cycle through your weapons doing one shot on them or whatever.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of goofy mechanics that I like in the game because it increases skill cap. And I feel like the game would be kind of lame if it was just like pew, 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 pew. Obviously, there's a lot of skill, but it's not aiming skill the way like PUBG is predominantly aiming skill.
My whole Twitch chat is spamming ask Prolly about merch. One guy even says he's going to sub if I ask you. So before you answer, I'll just say you guys teased it at the end of the heist, and then I interviewed Nadeshot, and in the interview with Nadeshot, he was like, there should be an announcement coming soon. So I somehow doubt that you're going to be like, oh, I'm glad you asked that. Here's all the merchandise you're coming out with. Here's the
It's link. Actually right behind me.
Yeah, exactly.
No. I hate that I have to keep saying, like, it's coming. But it's coming. And we're all super excited about it, too. So you guys complain about it. Like, you guys want merch. Understand the entire team is complaining. Like, we want it, too. So we're all in the same boat.
Do you know that this can be a revenue stream? Does Nadeshot know that?
Can I get some free merch? I asked on Twitter, and your social media people flame me for a pretty good reason.
Nice. I'll give them a thumbs up for that.
Yeah, but can you also get me a jacket?
Okay, I can get you a jacket. You want the windbreaker?
I don't care. I just want free.
The other ones, I think definitely give them the windbreaker because I think the other ones are super expensive looking.
Well, then give me the more expensive one. I didn't know what I was comparing to.
Jeez, you're so materialistic, bro.
Very.
Yeah. Bolt says, there was your free sub. That wasn't a free sub. That came at a cost. I had to ask probably a question I knew the answer to. All right. So you got nothing else to shout out, probably. You went on your rampage about Bungie.
Yeah. I didn't go too deep, though, because I feel like if you guys don't play Destiny 2, you guys won't understand my complaints, you know? This is where I just need to... I don't know, let off steam.
It's a platform. There's 1,400 people here who might play Destiny 2, so don't worry about us too.
Yeah. Oh, dude, those people were already flaming on the Destiny subreddit for the last 6 months. So
Melody RX says, why did everyone's blue lights go out? Well, Prolly's blue lights went out halfway through the show, or like 2/3 of the way through the show. And then I looked over and Mark had turned off his blue light, and I was like, I guess we're doing this, and so I turned off my blue light.
Prolly's lights had been going on and off the entire... He had only...
I thought I only had blue.
Yeah, you only had blue.
I switched to only blue.
Then you didn't even notice, but Gabe snuck behind you and turned on the red light. And then at some point in time, the blue light randomly died. And Gabe walked in here and was like, oh no, his blue light's off. And now he's yelling very loudly.
I've been following the whole show.
All right, I guess...
Trendsetter for lights.
The show's done. I'm going to wrap it up here. I'll stick around on the stream for a little bit, but... we have a podcast of the show. I always try to say this. I think, nobody makes it this far into the show, so it's a mistake.
You should try announcing this at the beginning.
iTunes, Google Play, it's there. I have Patreon, I have a support page. All that stuff helps. Thanks to Owen by HP for doing this. I'm going to be in Miami. We're trying to figure out if we can make Live Hotline League happen. Thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to make it happen, to be completely honest, which is the major challenge right now, but... We're going to try and do that. And I want to thank everyone for watching the show. You can check it out over on YouTube. If you're watching on YouTube, twitch.tv/SOTLTravis. We try to broadcast Mondays at 8 p.m. Thanks to Prolly. Thanks to Mark. It's been episode, 18. Guys.
Thanks for coming out, Prolly.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.